Houston Integrity for AGA.
Go ahead for AGA, Christina.
Hey, Tess. We've got CO2 2.8, O2 27.0, 76.3 degrees, and 10.5 PSIA.
We copy all. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
Have a wonderful night. And just for your awareness, we are still standing by for your go to resume the wastewater dump when you guys are ready.
Yes, absolutely. The good night was probably a little early. Usually when we say good night to Houston, we call about five more times. That's our pattern.
I just feel like I am contributing to that trend. So, all right, we'll stand by for the next good night.
Okay, good night, Tess. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night, Reed.
Houston Integrity for Stowage.
Go ahead.
Yes, Tess, we needed a new spot for a trash bag, so we came up with a plan, and if it's all right with you, I will let you know what we did to update the stowage.
We are happy to receive.
Okay, we managed to fill bag two of locker D with three trash bags and some other dry trash packaging stuff. That was the last location y'all gave us. We then emptied bag eight of D by deploying all of the nitrile gloves in there. I am seeing three packs of 30 and one pack of compaction plates into the toilet.
That is perfect. That is the next action we would have given you. So, bravo.
All right, mind meld. Thank you, and good night.
Good night. Talk to you in a minute.
Exactly.
Integrity Houston with a potential last good night before we go into a very long forward link LOS.
Go ahead.
Hey, sorry to bug you again. But the team here is looking to resume venting before we go into this long LOS. We did want to make sure that you guys know the team here has decided that there is no constraint to fecal use of toilet during vent ops. So we would like to resume the vent if you're okay with that, knowing that you can continue to use toilet for fecal purposes while we do so.
Resume the vent.
And there was much rejoicing. Hey, we also got a sneak peek at y'all's imagery. It's absolutely stunning. We are all completely in awe of the work that you did today. Thank you so much for bringing us on this journey with you. We hope you have sweet dreams of moon joy.
Thank you so much, Tess. And when you take about 10,000 pictures in a day, trying to download 10 for PAO is tough. So that's just a sampling. There's many more that look like them, and there's probably quite a few that look better than that, but that was the best we could do right there. So glad that they're appreciated. We certainly appreciate it being up here in our observation post. Hey, one thing while I got you for tomorrow morning, I know we're trying to make it a light crew day, but if you could still give us our wake up on time at the beginning of post sleep, we would appreciate it so we can get our science going and get our morning about us.
We will make that happen for you. Have a wonderful night.
All right. Good night. Until I call you in 5 minutes. See ya.
Contribution.
Okay, Chris. I'm good. One.
Связи в СГ-2. Слышу хорошо, как слышно нас.
Да, я вас отлично слышу. Сейчас в 5 минут выполню подключение камеры и готов уже приступить.
Принято.
Японский МКС, СГ-2.
Связи в СГ-2.
Подпишите, как понимать картинку.
Да, что-то специалисты молчат. Я понимаю картинку, да, вижу экран.
Так, хорошо. И еще один тогда вопрос. включение режима записи есть необходимость включать на комфортере или нет? И на SSI.
Экипаж МКС в канале СГ-2 для Андрея по бортовой тренировке.
Отвечаю в СГ-2. Максим, добрый день, рад слышать. СГ-2.
Да, Андрей, добрый день, тоже рад слышать. А какой у тебя вопрос был по поводу записи?
Да, у меня вопрос. Есть ли необходимость включать запись на комкодере и на SSI?
Да, принято. Нет, смысла нет, запись включать не нужно, у нас сегодня бортовая тренировка, поэтому... Мы работаем. Так. А готов начинать?
Да, в таком случае я готов начать.
Хорошо, принято. Тогда начинаем работу по радиограмме 7720. По первой странице ознакомимся с целями тренировки. Сегодня мы отрабатываем миссию технического обслуживания. Вот здесь в таблице указано, что будем работать в двух конфигурациях с манипуляцией.
Так, я готов.
Вопросов не возникло, да, все понятно?
Есть вот то, что на SSI-2 указан. Не знаю, если это тот, который на RPMLM стоит, это SSI-3. Ну, я думаю, это не больше. Ну, больше нет.
Не имеет значения, Андрей, да, ну, значит, SSI-3.
Ну,
тогда
готов тогда продолжить.
Принято.
Принято.
Так, можно перейти на пункт 1.1.1.2. Вот здесь ознакомиться с названиями полей еще раз и обязанностями экипажа.
Да, хорошо.
Андрей, вопрос такой. У тебя передача на пути не зажата, потому что я все время слышу фоновый шум и еще эхо свое слышу, когда говорю.
Да, я тоже слышу, я думал, что это у вас.
Да, сейчас разбираться будем.
Вот без нажатой клавиши вы меня не слышите, как я понял, потому что я вас попробую позвать, вы не откликнулись. По тангенте я имею в виду.
Слышим постоянно.
Да, такое ощущение, что кто-то на связи сидит как будто.
У тебя на пульте какие сейчас клавиши зажаты, можешь сказать? Какие каналы?
Канал 2 и мой динамик.
Принято.
Принято.
Андрей, а вопрос такой, а на ВСМ на втором пульте не зажата там клавиша никакая?
Сейчас посмотрю, скажу. А по конкурсу СГ-1, а в СГ-2, прошу прощения.
Да, вот принято, теперь чисто, слышно, все хорошо. Причину нашли.
Да, там на втором пункте была передача.
Причину нашли.
Да, так точно.
Все, продолжаем тогда работу по радиограмме. Ознакомься с пунктом 1.1 и 1.2. Ну и 1.3 меры безопасности тоже. Значит, тогда смотри, Андрей, сейчас мы просматриваем те пункты, которые мы на тренажере не сможем отработать, но в реальной работе мы будем выполнять. То есть это пункт 2.1, 2.2, 2.3, 2.4, 2.5 и пункт, значит, 2.6 и 2.7. То есть вот это все просматривай, и потом мы переходим к пункту 3.1, включение пульта.
Хорошо, принял. МКС, СГ-2.
На связи.
Готов продолжить по пункту 3.1.
Да, выполняем пункт 3.1, включаем, значит, наш пульт. Да, Андрей, просьба, камеру можешь подстроить, потому что у нас расфокусировка и нечетко видим экран.
Давайте, одну минутку.
Вот, так, хорошо, вот так оставляй.
Так лучше?
Ага, вот так оставляю. Спасибо.
Хорошо. Сухумская МКС СГ-1.
А так, 31 набор данных загружен. Значит, Андрей, значит, 4-й и 5-й шаг тоже просматриваем. Здесь мы подключение к шине данных не выполняем. И можно переходить, значит, к шагу 7, шаг 7 тест-клавиатуры.
Так, принял шаг 4 и шаг 5. Опускаем.
4, 5 и 6, да, тут 6 уже курсор, значит, вращение уже закончилось, поэтому можно сразу к 7-му приступить.
Ну да, 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 да. Хорошо, выполняю шаг 7. Так, появился у меня синоптический дисплей.
Да, принято появление трехмерной модели. Значит, нужно нажимать Continue. Здесь у нас сообщение, ну, на бортовом тренажере не совпадает с тем, что будет на борту, на реальном пульте. Вот. И, значит, работаем по шагу 9.
Так, RM значение 0 и поле MMI значение ready.
А, принято. Значит, по шагу 10 открываем Session Manager и ставим скорость на 20. Будем отрабатывать миссию в ускоренном режиме.
Так, скорость 20 установил.
А, принято. И далее переходим на пункт 3.2, включение эра на резервном канале питания. Первый шаг тоже пропускаем, просто просматриваем. И начинаем со второго шага.
Принял. Выполняем выдачу запроса на загрузку 25-го набора данных. Есть загрузка 25-го набора данных. Эра стала серым цветом у нас и появились значения в полях данных.
Пошла телеметрия. Ну, значит, нажимаем Continue. Четвертый шаг тоже можешь просто просмотреть. И контролируем параметры по пятому шагу. Обращаю еще твое внимание, что у нас здесь кушен, ожидаемый при включении манипулятора на бортовом тренажере, тоже не появляется. Здесь мы просто просматриваем, что он есть, но на тренажере у нас его нет.
Это по шагу 5 я принял. Так, значит, у нас поле RTM значение есть, base 2, power redundant и site 1. Также режим ERA, standby, no operation.
Ну вот по этой конфигурации, значит, первая сторона, первым эндэффектором мы стоим на базовой точке 2 и запитаны через базовую точку 2.
А, так точно.
Переходим на страницу 13, здесь тоже можно шестой шаг просто просмотреть. И как будешь готов, переходим на пункт 3.3 на странице 14, загружаем 24 набор данных.
Так, сейчас я гляну формат на этот. СВКДР, конфигурация базовых точек. Так, я готов дальше.
Выполняем, работаем.
Выполняем загрузку 24-го набора данных.
Выполняем.
Так, я чуть-чуть экран поправил себе, чтобы удобнее было, как вам смотрится.
Да, отлично, нас все видно.
Хорошо, тогда так положено. Спасибо. Так, есть загрузка 24-го набора данных.
Принято. Нажимаем Continue и загружаем третий набор данных и потом четвертый. Наборы данных загружены.
Набор данных загружен.
Да, принято. Наборы данных у нас загружаются здесь быстро, потому что 20-кратная скорость выставлена. Но в реальной работе, конечно, они у нас подольше грузятся.
Да, так точно, это понятно.
Тогда переходим на пункт 3.6, берем точку управления.
Точка управления, Point of Control Away MMI и сброс событий ERA и MMI, значение полей, event, оба nominal safe уже.
Это, значит, переходим сразу, 3.8 тоже пропускаем, переходим на 3.9, загружаем первую автопоследовательность.
Как загрузить первую автопоследовательность? Первая автопоследовательность загружена, название, идентификатор статус соответствует указанному в радиограмме.
Хорошо, принял. Значит, включаем по четвертому шагу второй вид синаптического дисплея и переходим к пункту 3.10. Ознакомимся с примечанием и с полем внимания. Как будешь готов, начинаем выполнение с первой задачи.
Готов продолжить.
Хорошо, принято. Начинаем выполнение с первой задачи. Check active base point.
Задача выполнена.
Принято, продолжаем. Да, вот сейчас вторая задача. Да, подготовительная, вот настроенные виды.
Да,
синаптический дисплей.
Синаптический дисплей соответствует указанному радиограмме.
Принято. Да, и вот здесь у тебя написано...
При необходимости пропустить, если у нас в основном питании, но у нас на резервном питании, поэтому мы должны будем выполнить следующую задачу.
Да, все верно. Ну вот ниже у тебя пояснение написано. Если питание main, то перейти к шагу 4. Если питание redundant, то перейти к шагу 3. То есть вот сейчас переходим к шагу 3 и выполняем задачу task 3 при preparator.
Да, выполняем задачу 3.
Можно продолжать. Выполняем четвертую задачу, relief stress.
Да, выполняем задачу номер 4. Basepoint 3. Так, нет. Так, есть выполнение четвертой задачи, также у нас чек по проверке на базовой точке третьей, отсутствие питания и коушен ожидаемый тоже есть.
Принято. Да, можно нажать кнопку continue, но значит в работе мы будем контролировать на лаптопе RSMLM отсутствие питания на базовой точке 3, здесь сейчас просто просматривай, и переходим к шагу 4.2, сбрасываем коушен.
Хорошо, принял, сбрасываю коушен, выполнил сброс, поле event nominal save.
Хорошо, принято. Возвращаемся в режим авто.
Да, так.
Возвращаемся в режим авто.
И также у нас base, tough, base point 3 basic.
Принято.
Готов выполнить пятую задачу.
Выполняем пятую задачу, в ней будет выполнена отстыковка манипулятора, отстыковка эндэффектора от базы точки 3.
Выполняется команда ungrappled. Команда выполнена, состояние кисти ungrappled. Координата x минус 0.020.
Принял.
Пятая задача выполнена.
Так, есть, выполнена отстыковка, и работаем по шестой задаче, ретракт.
Шестая задача выполнена, есть предупреждение о включении лазера, скорости выбранные 1.5-0.344 совпадают, выбор систем координат TAF и FOR также совпадает.
Хорошо, принято. Переходим к седьмой задаче, будем выполнять отход манипулятора в точку SEP.
Седьмая задача выполнена.
Работаем по таск восьмому, по восьмой задаче. Здесь будем выполнять, значит, так, седьмую задачу мы выполнили, да, отошли. Так, работаем по восьмой задаче, тоже выполняем, так, ретракт.
Да, выполняйте восьмую задачу. Есть отход, наблюдаю по синаптическому дисплею, и восьмая задача выполнена.
Да. Хорошо, принято.
Координата X.
Хорошо, принято.
Значит, девятая задача. В девятой задаче мы будем подниматься по координате X на полметра от точки SEP.
Выполняю девятую. Так, девятая задача выполнена. Координата X минус 0.5. Basepoint 3, сейф и полчитав выбрано.
Да, принято.
Скорости выбранные совпадают.
Да, принято.
Работаем по task 10, трансфер, многошарнирное перемещение, то есть контролируем значение шарниров. Ну, в соответствии с таблицей будем контролировать. Здесь, конечно, у нас 20-кратная скорость, сейчас быстро манипулятор будет переходить в заданные значения. Ну, проверим те целевые значения, которые указаны.
Ну, проверим.
Хорошо, выполняю. Выполнена десятая задача, указанная тут Москвы МКС СГ-2. Тут Москвы МКС СГ-2.
Да, на связи.
Отлично. Максим, значит, я, так как был очень большой перерыв, я все-таки продолжил выполнение работы. В принципе, я, если есть необходимость, я включал запись, сейчас я выключу. Если
да, принято.
Необходимость, я, наверное, попробую сбросить видеозапись на камеру, я включал. Но у меня замечаний никаких нет, все прошло по радиограмме. Справа поставка последовательность у меня завершена, и первая тоже завершилась без проблем. Но здесь у меня вот во второй автопоследовательности есть такое ощущение, что дам сбрасывается в реальном времени, то есть без ускорения, то есть приходится ждать. Ну, не знаю, может быть, просто так показалось. И еще один такой момент, вот в шаге 8 автопоследовательности 2, значит, там двойное перемещение есть, и, видимо, просто потому что оно все быстро это проходит на скорости, поэтому контролировать угловые значения шарниров не успеваешь, а потом идет сразу же перемещение по координатам. И получается, угловые немного после перемещения по координатам, угловые значения немножко не совпадают. Но я думаю, это просто с этим никак не связано, так что других вопросов нет.
Да, Андрей, все верно, ты говоришь, там вот согласен я, да, что с 20-кратной скоростью ты просто не успеваешь проконтролировать вот эти значения, потому что сразу идет фримув перемещение, и, соответственно, угловые значения, они меняются. Поэтому, ну, в реальной работе у нас будет все совпадать.
Да, ну там и так-то отличие было в одно, вот, что это всего лишь 3 градуса максимум, это shoulder pitch, 3 градуса отличается, а остальные там на 0,3. Два значения других углов. Остальные совпадают полностью. Ну, у меня вопросов нет. Я готов продолжить.
Так, хорошо, принято. То есть сейчас мы находимся, подскажи, на каком шаге?
Страница 33, пункт 3.13. Я готов приступить.
Да, принято. Значит, по пункту 3.13 мы сейчас отключаем только питание манипулятора. 3.13.1, 3.13.2 мы не выполняем. То есть мы будем при работе мы будем отключать пульт, менять его, но сейчас на тренировке мы это делать не будем. То есть только питание отключаем.
Хорошо, принял. Отключаю. Выполняю 3.13.1. Так, выключил питание, но так как мы форматы лэптопов не открывали, то, соответственно, у вас и другой сейчас ничего сказать.
Принято.
Полочка.
Пункт 3.13.2, 3.13.3 просто просматриваем, также 3.13.4, 3.13.5 и пункт 4, вот здесь у нас замена IMMI 1.46 на 1.50.
Выполняем эту замену, правильно?
Сейчас не выполняем, сейчас просто просматривай. И по пункту 5 тоже все вот эти пункты просматриваешь. Здесь у нас после замены пульта тоже у нас вот это все у нас выполняется. Сейчас просто просматриваем. И идем на пункт 5.7. Включение эра на основном канале питания.
Ага, понял. Так, готов к выполнению пункта 5.7, поле RTM значение NO и режим MMI Ready.
Принято.
Так, мы контролируем по шагу первому СМВКД R инициализацию CC. Нажимаем и показать готов. Выполнено включение питания 25.
Принято.
Значит, базовая точка 2, питание main и сайт 1. И standby no operation режим error. Соответственно, указано в RG.
Принято. Так, по шагу 6 тоже просматриваю просто и переходим на 5.8 пункт, загружаем 24 и затем 3 и 5 набор данных по пункту 5.10.
Выполняю загрузку 24, 3 и 5 набора данных. Выполнена загрузка 24, 3 и 5 набора данных. Беру точку управления.
Принято.
Точку управления IVA MMI. И готовы продолжить.
Да, принято. Дальше переходим на пункт 5.12. Выполняем процедуру перешагивания. С Basepoint 2 на Basepoint 1.
Выполняю. Operation MMI Standby, точка управления IVA MMI, Base 2, Site 1 и Standby No Operational. И кроме того, Risk Grappled.
Принято.
Вот есть небольшое отличие, но в самой радиограмме просто принцип написания тут непривычно заметил, бросилось в глаза. Значит, когда мы везде, мы сейчас switch base point я выбрал, да, но у нас тут слева стоит, что на вкладке меню CPC команд. Обычно это все пишется как нажать меню, то есть на панели, командной панели, это действие, то есть это как действие пишется, то есть два других действия еще пишется, ну, в принципе, понятно, хорошо.
Подожди, Андрей, еще раз повтори, пожалуйста, что тебе не понравилось.
Ну, смотри, не то, что не понравилось, как бы просто из общего уклада выбивается. Вот сейчас у нас выдал я команду, шагу 3, switch base point. Видишь, да, Максим?
Да, выдаем команду switch base point.
Так, приняли, прием. Да, просто, кажется, придираюсь. Как она выдается? Вкладка меню CPC команд слева написано.
Да, все верно.
Да. Но просто во всех предыдущих случаях это были как команды на панель, то есть слева написано панель, командная панель, и мы нажимаем нажать меню, нажать.
Да, все, я понял. Команды, да, я понял.
То есть ты как шагу 3, ты здесь полностью. Это как бы так просто. Так, коушен у нас не появился.
Коушен не появляется, потому что тренажер.
Да, и так, сейчас у нас RCM. Yes. И то, что dataset 2 load complete, ready.
Да, все соответствует, да? Параметрам.
Вот, нет, сейчас, секунду. Вот у нас четвертый шаг, если есть, значит, no base point.
Да, это если появилось сообщение в командной панели.
Да, то есть у нас такого сообщения нет, соответственно, мы пропускаем шаг 4, правильно?
Да.
Да, и вот я дальше, да, дальше вижу шаг 5. Дата-сет вот complete error. И все есть. Сейчас проконтролирую поля. Yes, error 3, main. Давай standby на operation. Все соответствует. Нажимаю continue и продолжаю.
Да, при этом нажимаем continue. Седьмой шаг тоже просто просматриваем. И потом переходим к пункту 5.13. Берем точку управления.
Я беру точку управления. Так, точка управления Xavi MMI.
Да.
Все поля event у нас nominal save. Да. Камеру мы сейчас на RSS линии проверим.
Да, принято. И переходим к пункту 5.16, загружаем первую автопоследовательность.
Загружается автопоследовательность. Автопоследовательность загружена. Название, идентификатор и статус соответствуют указанному ВРГ.
Принято. А вот второй вид у нас тоже уже включен. Поэтому можно переходить на страницу 45, пункт 5.17. Вот, можно знакомиться с примечанием. И когда будешь готов, можно начинать выполнять ее.
Так, готов. К выполнению первой
задачи. Выполняем.
Задача выполнена.
Продолжаем. Выполняем вторую задачу.
Выполняем вторую.
Продолжаем. Выполняем вторую задачу.
Вторая задача также выполнена.
Принято.
Переходим на другой шаг.
Все верно. То есть, так как, да, так как мы уже запитали манипулятор на основном канале питания, мы третий шаг пропускаем здесь, третью задачу. Переходим сразу на четвертую.
Выбираю четвертую задачу.
Выбираем четвертую задачу двойным нажатием.
Да, четвертая задача выбрана и выдаю старт. Base point 2 basic выбрано TAF.
Ну, принял.
Так, появился у нас caution и также предупреждение о проверке отсутствия питания на base point 2.
Да, вам, значит, нужно будет зайти на лаптоп RSMLM, проверить отсутствие питания.
Проверили и перехожу к сбрасыванию сообщения.
Выполнил.
Сброс сообщения выполнил. Значение поля event nominal save.
Интенс.
И готов к первой задаче.
Выполняем пятую задачу, отстыковка от базовой точки 3.
Отстыковка координата x минус 0, точка 0,20. Тяни крюков Андрепуп.
Принято.
Задача принята. Пятая выполнена, готов выполнить шестую.
Продолжаем.
Есть предупреждение о включении лазера. Есть, значит, соответствуют системы координат выбранные и заданные скорости соответствуют указанным в РГ. Продолжаю.
Да. Выполняется у нас седьмая задача.
Задача выполнена.
И задача будем выполнять отход.
Восьмая задача готова.
Задача будем выполнять отход.
Выполняется восьмая задача. Наблюдаю изменение положения на синоптическом дисплее.
Координаты
соответствуют указанному в РГ. Ну и также по телекамере контролируем, которой у нас пока нет. Готов выполнить девятую задачу?
Выполняем девятую.
Выполняется перемещение. Перемещение выполнено. Координата x минус 0.5. Заданные скорости и выбранной системы координат. Вот так.
Совпадает, да?
Значит, нет, сейчас, одну секунду, значит, после выполнения, выполнили мы девятую задачу, у нас координата x минус 0.5, дальше там должна быть в РГ указана base point 3, safe approach, а у нас фактически на base point 2 safe approach.
Да, все верно, то есть совпадает. У нас, а, у нас здесь ошибка в радиограмме.
Да.
Да, должна быть все верно. То есть как на пульте Base Point 2 и прочее. А штуку мы увидели, да, будет исправлено. Идем дальше.
Все хорошо. Так, задача 10. Выполняю. Выполняется перемещение. Эта задача выполнена.
Принял.
Значение шолдер ее совпадает минус 10 градусов. Выполняю 11-ю задачу. 11-я задача. Значение угловых положений шарниров соответствует указанным в радиограмме.
Принято.
Выполняю задачу 12.
Выполняем.
Выполняется перемещение. Одно, второе. 12 задача выполнена. Так, заданные скорости соответствуют. Координаты соответствуют.
Принято. Ну и далее идут задачи завершающие в автопоследовательности. С 13 по 17 можешь выполнять.
Да, я выполняю. Вот сейчас memory dump, пока еще значение yes. Ну, такое ощущение, что он в реальном времени сбрасывает. Долго просто.
А у нас memory dump здесь не ускоряет.
Вот есть значение memory dump null.
Принято.
Так, 17-я задача выполнена. Автопоследовательность 1 завершена.
Нажимаем continue. Переходим к пункту 5.18. Загружаем вторую автопоследовательность.
Так, автопоследовательность загружена. Вторая. Название, идентификатор и статус соответствуют указанному в радиограмме.
Принято. Ну и переходим к пункту 5.19 на странице 53. Тоже можешь ознакомиться с примечанием. И когда будешь готов, можно начинать выполнять.
Да, готов. Выполнение автопоследовательности. Выполнил первую задачу, выполняю вторую. Вторая задача выполнена. Система координат TAF выбрана, соответствует Base Point 3 Basic. И так как мы на главном переходим, в канале питания переходим к шагу 4. То есть мы выбираем задачу 4.
А, принято. Нажимай Continue и переходим на четвертую задачу.
Четвертая задача выбрана. Выполнена четвертая задача, есть сообщение указано, существует переключение внутренней шины B. Выполняю пятую задачу.
Нажимаем continue и можем приступать к выполнению пятой.
выполняется пятая задача. Есть перемещение. Перемещение завершено. Координаты соответствуют указанной радиограмме и заданной скорости также соответствуют. Ну и положение на синоптическом дисплее также соответствует указанному РГ. Выполняем шестую задачу.
Выполняем что?
Шестая задача выполнена. Угловые положения, значение угловых положений шарниров соответствует указанному радиограмме и положение на синоптическом дисплее также соответствует. Продолжаем седьмую задачу.
Да, выполняем седьмую задачу. Перемещение в шолдер-ю с минус 10 до нулевого значения.
Да, выполнена задача. Значение шолдер-ю 0. И на синоптическом дисплее также соответствует указанному ВРГ.
Принято. Дальше перемещаемся у нас. Перемещаемся в СЭП. За точкой 2.
Есть перемещение. Перемещение завершено. Вот да, здесь та же ситуация. Немного отличается угловое положение, но это потому, что уже после второго перемещения. Тут тоже все понятно. Соответствует указанному ВРГ конечные значения координат pitch, x, y, z и pitch your roll. И готов выполнить. Так, также скорости установленные, заданные совпадают. Готов выполнить задачу 9.
А, принято. Выполняем девятую задачу. Готовимся к операции approach.
Выполнено. Есть предупреждение о включении лазера.
Пятую.
А, выполняю десятую. Десятая выполнена. Выполняю одиннадцатую задачу.
Да, вот, Андрей, смотри, в одиннадцатой задаче у нас будет выполняться здесь quiet target выравнивание, да, то есть по мишени. И, соответственно, координаты, вот здесь видишь, можешь увидеть, что у нас отклонение по оси Y и по оси рыскания. То есть мы хотим проверить, как у нас вот с таким отклонением манипулятор сможет выполнить команду approach сближения.
Да, да, тут тоже было, в принципе, понятно в том, что раз. Хорошо.
Приступаем к выполнению 11 задач.
Выполняю. Значение изменились. Так, 11 задача выполнена.
Да, и можно приступать к выполнению 12 задачи. Вот, соответственно, мы здесь будем выполнять команду approach и вот эти значения по оси X, по оси Y, по оси Y. Ну, мы будем приводить в 0, а по оси X дойдем до расстояния минус 0,5 метра.
Да, так точно. Выполняем. Так, выполнено. Задача 12.
Принято.
Принято. Да, все показания соответствуют указанному РГ.
Продолжаем выполнять автопоследовательность.
Задача 12 выполнена. Basepoint 2 Safe Approach выбрана. Выполняю 14-ю. 14-я задача также выполнена.
Принято.
Так, выполняю 15-ю. Выполняется причаливание. Есть. Задача 15 выполнена. Basepoint 2 Basic есть. И также есть предупреждение о проверке об отсутствии питания на базовой точке 2.
Принято. Мы на лаптопе RSMLM выполняем.
Да, проверяем на RSMLM и готов отсутствовать питание. После подтверждения готов выполнить 16-ю задачу.
Выполняем 16-ю задачу, стыкуемся с базовой точкой 2.
Координаты x минус 0.020. 16-я задача выполнена. Basepoint 2 basic, координата x 0. Дальше остались только электрические проверки.
Да, выполняю до завершения автопоследовательности.
Выполняю. Так, вторая автопоследовательность завершена.
Принято. Переходим к пункту 5.20. Да, и Андрей, я вот хотел пояснить по поводу, вот ты сказал, когда мы наборы данных загружали, что мы заходили в меню CPC Commands и нажимали кнопку вот в меню CPC Commands, вот как ты сейчас выполняешь, да?
И потом у нас было нажатия этих кнопок, и мы просто потом выполняли набор данных. Вот нажми сейчас меню CFC Commons.
Есть, CFC Commons выдал.
А, и вот видишь, вот здесь вот в этой панельке, когда мы набор данных загружаем, то мы остаемся в этой же панельке. И поэтому там у тебя слева было написано не нажимать, а просто проконтролировать меню CPC Commons, потому что мы в этой панели так и находимся. Мы еще раз не нажимаем, а просто выдаем еще раз команду load dataset. Поэтому там не было нажатия этих кнопок.
Да я понял. Нет, я понял. Просто, опять же, командная панель слева, то есть, смысл там, где мы выполняем это действие, да, с левой стороны, мы пишем в командной панели «выдаем то-то» или «делаем то-то», то есть «где». Ну, как бы понятно, просто надпись командная, не там не командная панель, а уже сами как бы команды. Ну, нет, тут все понятно.
Нет, там было написано, там тоже была написана командная панель, но при этом еще ниже было написано меню и CPC команд контролировать. И в этой же панельке мы выдаем уже команду на лот.
Да, все понятно, спасибо.
Хорошо. Теперь, значит, выполняем отключение питания манипуляторов по пункту 5.20.
Выполняю, выдаю error off. Error стала пурпурным цветом на синаптическом дисплее.
Принято.
Значение RTM 0, no.
Будет проконтролировать, что на LTPR S4 есть SSR-ы и на RSMLM питание снято.
Так точно.
Да, и переходим к заключительным операциям. Пункт 6. Отключаем сначала пульт. От обмена по шине мы здесь не выполняем. Можно отключать сразу пульт по шагу 6.2.
Шагу 6.2. Так точно, принял. Отключение пульта MMI. Маркер. Выполнил выключение пульта.
Да, принято. Блок питания и розетку тоже отключил, да?
Да, так точно.
Хорошо, принято. Андрей, хотел тебе еще пояснить, вот у нас в нашей радиограмме, у нас есть здесь еще пункт 7, ручное управление манипулятором, ну это в случае, если какая-то нештатная ситуация у нас произойдет. Вот, и восьмой пункт, у нас здесь есть справочные материалы. Но, значит, по пункту 8.1 у нас есть здесь действия при потере ориентации станции. Вот, просьба открыть страницу 71, посмотреть.
Уже
смотрю. Да, это в случае, если у нас во время работы произойдет, значит, потеря ориентации станции, и вот необходимо будет, ну, то есть в соответствии с тем, на каком этапе ты будешь находиться в миссии, нужно будет перевести манипулятор в безопасное положение. Ну, то есть вот здесь вот в таблице указаны разные наборы данных, разные автопоследовательности и задачи, в которых будет перемещение, и в которых может произойти потеря ориентации. А справа у тебя прописаны шаги, что нужно сделать. Ну, то есть, какие задачи выполнить, какие шаги выполнить.
Ну, я понял. Так, например, вот если мы, получается, на основном пульте, например, 11.50 работаем, то у нас это датасет 5 получается. И автопоследовательность, например, 2, если мы, например, с задачей 12 что-то у нас происходит потеря связи, то необходимо выполнить задачи до стыковки с базовой точкой, task 16 включительно, и затем перевести error в режим стендбай. В принципе, понятно.
А, и дальше у нас здесь еще, ну, прописано тоже вот в справочных материалах, тоже вот по пункту 8.2, 8.3, ну, то есть это в случае, опять же, возникновения нештатных ситуаций, и также есть автопоследовательность 3, 4 и 5, но это тоже при возникновении нештатных ситуаций, если мы не сможем сблизиться, и там же есть у нас по высоким токам операция. Ну, то есть, если вдруг что-то произойдет, мы будем по ним работать.
Да, с этим, в принципе, тоже все понятно.
Хорошо, принято. Спасибо за тренировку, Андрей. Если какие-то вопросы еще остались, задавай.
Нет, Макс, спасибо большое. В очередной раз скажу, что очень полезна тренировка, потому что все равно занятия были, так скажем, давно. И все равно каждый раз вспоминаешь. Я думаю, не должно быть проблем у нас в текущей, в предстоящей работе проблем быть не должно.
Я рад это слышать, спасибо, да. И, значит, продолжим мы уже работу с реальным нашим манипулятором, уже будем работать в пятницу. Четверг, извиняюсь.
Да, хорошо. Да, хорошо, да, спасибо.
Андрей, сейчас еще вопрос задам.
Да, конечно.
Специалисты вопросы задают. Вот смотри, Андрей, если вот, ну давай по пункту 8.1, чтобы тебе понятно было. Вот по, значит, дата set 4, автопоследовательность 1, task 5. Вот если он у тебя выбран, task 5 ungrapple, но при этом еще не выполняется, вот что ты должен сделать?
Сейчас, секундочку, 8.1 я открыл, и давайте еще раз вводную.
Да, вот, например, у тебя выбран task 5, ungrapple, no TFS, вот как здесь прописано, да, но еще он не выполняется, он просто у тебя подсвечен и выбран. Вот если у тебя происходит потеря ориентации станции, какие твои действия будут?
Сейчас я еще, подождите, соображу, еще раз, понятно, что потеря ориентации. Так, мы находимся на... каким лэптопом, с каким IMMI работаем? Основной?
Без разницы. То есть неважно, какой набор данных у нас загружен, вот у тебя просто ungrapple, да, выбран, но не выполняется.
Напоследствие, какую мы выполняем?
Тоже неважно. Ну, пусть AS1 будет.
AS1. И в этом случае у нас что происходит?
Ну вот у тебя пятая задача ungrapple выбрана, но не выполняется. Вот какие твои действия будут, если потеря ориентации?
Так, то есть я выбрал четвертую задачу, то есть четвертая задача выполнена и выбрал пятую. Но еще не,
да,
дал команду, не выдал команду на выполнение, правильно?
Да, все верно.
Так, тогда я заканчиваю текущую задачу и перевожу error в режим стендбай, если режим отличается.
Ungrapple, Андрей, задача ungrapple ты запустишь или ты просто сразу переведешь ERR в режим стендбай?
Нет, я не буду ее запускать. У меня же указано, что...
Все, Андрей, все хорошо, молодец.
Если не выполняется, то значит, да, если она уже выполняется только тогда.
Принято, хорошо, просто еще раз, чтобы тебе было понятно, просто потому что таблица тут не очень понятно написана, чтобы было понимание, что вдруг, если какая нештатка произойдет, чтобы понимал, что делать.
Так, а тогда теперь у меня уже тоже вопрос. Получается, вот это касается пятой, допустим, 12-й, вот тоже у нас тут 7-я есть задача, подписью уже выполняется, ну, там дальше. А вот 6, 7, 8, допустим, да, ретракт, да, то есть мы уже пятую выполнили, и у нас стоит на шестой, и в этом случае мы делаем так, как указано справа, правильно? То есть не выполняется, не в процессе выполнения. Ну, в принципе, она как ретракт, вот, в процессе выполнения там все равно должна доделаться.
Ну, просто ты вот этими ретрактами ты выполняешь задачи до перехода в сет, как у тебя здесь написано. Затем уже переводишь эра в режим стендбай. То есть для того, чтобы просто перевести тебе манипулятор в безопасное положение. Чтобы он не был где-то рядом с элементом станции, там рядом с базовой точкой, чтобы не было соударения.
Да, понятно. Вопросов нет, спасибо.
Все, хорошо, что разобрали этот момент. Ну, тогда спасибо за тренировку, Андрей. Поработали хорошо, провели такую бортовую тренировку. Все задачи отработали, которые нам предстоят. Вот, и тогда до связи, поработаем. И хорошего дня.
Хорошего дня. Да, взаимно, спасибо большое. Рад был с вами поработать. До связи, пока. Москва, МКС СГ-1 по отключению телевидения. Москва, СГ-2.
Since station in Jackson 2 for battery charge.
Back, we're with you on 2.
Later today I put 4 batteries on the charger for this AGA activity, and one of the 4 apparently did not charge. I've only got one of the 4 green LEDs lit on the test.
Yeah, can you give us the serial number for the one that did not charge?
Serial number 1066.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by for a second here, Jack, while we come up with a forward plan for the SWAT.
Sounds great.
Station Houston on 2 for Jack and AGA.
Station Jack's on 2 for AGA batteries.
Howdy, Jack. So we're going to ask you to go ahead and execute the procedure and activity as written. What we'd like you to do is give us a report on which ports did not charge and which AGA you put the serial number 1066 into when you go over to PMM.
The battery that did not charge was in the battery one side of the dual Canon battery charger assembly, serial number 1024. And I'll let you know what AGA that ends up in.
Thank you very much, sir. We copy.
Attention. If All-Star node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to node 516222 instead.
Houston Station, Jack's on 2 for AJ.
Houston's with you on 2, Jack.
I have two things for you. The first thing, in step 3.2, it says pull out and hold the power toggle switch to the on-off. The switch is spring-held in the on-off position, and you pull and toggle it to the power position. That's how the display came on for me. So I'm not sure if this step is written a little bit backwards. And second, in step 3.3, battery life greater than 10 hours message did not appear. Obviously, I'm on the old batteries.
Copy that, Jack. Thanks for the suggestion on the verbiage in 3.2, and we are checking on the message not appearing. Station Houston on 2 for Jack and AGA.
Houston Station, Jack's on 2. Just checking in to see if I missed an update on the AGA battery life message.
No worries at all, Jack. We were letting you eat. We just wanted to verify that for the batteries in question here, where you did not receive the message for battery life greater than 10 hours, these were, in fact, the batteries that were in the AGA. Is that correct?
The batteries that have been in the AGA while it's in storage, I have not swapped out the batteries yet.
Awesome. Thanks for the clarification. You are go to continue. And I just have to say that I am supremely jealous that when you have free time, you can float over to the robot and fly some track and capture. Looks like a lot of fun.
Put a smile on your face. It's a lot of fun. It's no big deal. We appreciate you guys having us set up for us. Something like that VR in that giant room from like the first month of ASCAM when I first met you.
That's a great place too.
Sim station for battery access door on the AGA.
Houston's with you for access door.
Hey, I am pulling on the battery door release function. It moves a couple of millimeters. I can see the pin retract from the locking mechanism, but it will not rotate to the unlock position. Any suggestions?
Copy, Jack. Would you mind holding that up to the lab camcorder so that we can take a look?
I can do that, and I just got it to rotate counterclockwise to the unlock with significant force.
All right, we see the pointing. If you can try to actuate it for us. Okay, thanks a lot, Jack. We were able to get a good view of that. We see what extra force you're talking about. And Jack, would you mind providing the serial number for that AGA so we can take note of it?
Number 1005 for the AGA.
Houston copies. Thank you very much for the demonstration.
Station for AJ.
This is with you on 2, Jack.
Okay, and for some clarification, there are two battery access doors. It was battery access door 2 that was very hard to operate. Battery access door 1 was easy, normal to operate. And again, this is on serial number 1005.
Copy. Battery access door number 2 was difficult to operate. Thanks for the report.
And just so I'm reading this procedure right, I put the new batteries in, or I did the verify it in 10 hours check on old batteries. Now that I put the new batteries in, it doesn't look like I'm turning on the AGA and checking to see if that message is present. Am I reading this procedure right?
Yeah, good point, Jack. And nominally, we wouldn't have that check there, but with the door issue that you reported, we want to verify that the contacts are being made at the battery, so would you mind turning it on and seeing if we have greater than 10 hours reported?
Okay. Houston Station, for the AGA, powering it up, I did get the battery life greater than 10-hour message.
Copy that, Jack. That's good news. You can go ahead and power it down and execute the procedure to reopen the door. We'd like you to conduct a quick inspection of a portion of the door. I've got a procedure and figure number for reference if you're ready to copy.
Did you copy?
Awesome. We're looking at EMER 1A 3.8, and in 3.8, we're looking at figure 8. You look at that figure, and I'll wait for you to pull that up and give you extra words. You can just give me a thumbs up in the lab cam view when you're ready.
I heard you say in book 1A, 3.8 procedure. Is that right?
Correct. For anomaly gas analyzer use, AGA use. And it's also linked in step 4.2 of the procedure you were using, if that's easier. If you search 3.8, it should show up.
Okay, I got it now. It's in 1C, not 1A, in the table of contents.
Copy that. That's interesting. In 3.8, we're looking at figure 8 on the left side.
Okay, I see it.
And if you look right below the thumb in the picture, there's a little nub. We're wondering if it looks the same on your AGA in question, if you see any fodder damage around that. So that might be making our door accessing more difficult. We're taking a look now, Jack. Thanks for showing us. Copy that, Jack. And do you see any damage or bending? We're not sure we see it in our view.
I do not see any damage or bending. Noticeable difference is that the knob access thing is really easy to move while the door is open. It's only hard to move while the door is closed. So maybe there's some side loading or something going on here. Is it thin? It's just too stuffed in, and it's just being pushed up against the door, maybe.
All right. Well, thanks for playing science experiment with us. We have recorded all the data down here, including the video, and we'll just ask that you go ahead and close that out and continue in your procedure. Thanks a lot for your help.
Houston Station AGA serial number 1002 is also missing the battery life greater than 10 hours message with the old batteries for storage.
Thanks for the note, Jack. You can continue. Copy okay.
Attention. If All-Star node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to node 516222 instead.
Wait. Sensation, Jack's on 2. I got a calibration check packet barcode when you're ready.
Jack, we're ready to copy.
This is in step 5.3 of the TOCA procedure. The barcode is 00289303 Juliet.
Houston copies. Thank you, sir.
But I'm looking at the stone note again. Maybe this isn't the right one. The stone note says expiration date 10-11-2026, and this says expiration date 9-26-2025.
Copy, Jack. Can you grab one of the calibration check packets, lot number ACN?
Houston from Jack on 2. I do not see a lot number ACN anywhere. I see high TOC calibration packets, low TOC calibration packets, but I don't see lot number ACN anywhere.
We copy, Jack. As you look through that CTB, we're looking for a lot that is not expired if you happen to come across one.
Okay. In the high TOC calibration, the expiration date matches on the calibration package of 10-11-2026, but it says lot, no, Alpha Charlie Mike, not Alpha Charlie November.
In talking with BME here, it looks like we want just a calibration check packet, not a high calibration check packet. There was much rejoicing, Jack. Thank you very much. Just to give you a heads up, we will take a look into why there were expired items there and see what the forward plan is for those. Copy, okay, and thanks for your help, Chris. Jack, Houston's with you on Space Ground 2. Whenever you have a moment, can you provide us that new barcode for the calibration check packet?
Houston Station, new barcode calibration check packet 0029-3164 Juliet.
Thank you much, sir.
Houston Station on 2 for PWD.
Chris, we're with you on 2.
Yeah, I was trying to make myself a nice cup of coffee to go along with my robo-training, and it was disappointingly lukewarm, and I noticed that the light was off. The light was off for the hot water on PWD, so I'm thinking the breaker is popped, and just wanted to let you guys know and ask if I'm good to reset that breaker.
We have no objections. You are go for that. Hopefully you can get some warm coffee for your robo-practice.
Absolutely. It's essential. Can you remind me? I know we have a procedure for it. I think I could probably find it, but if you guys happen to have it, that would be super helpful. Otherwise, I think I can probably find it.
We are retrieving that for you now. Give us a moment. Copy thumb.
Fantastic. I'll do a tracking capture in the meantime.
Chris, back with you on 2 at your convenience. We've got that procedure. Continue with your capture.
And Sami Chris is back with you.
Okay, Chris, did you capture or not? Because if you didn't, I don't know if we're going to give you this procedure.
Nailed it. It's great.
Okay, beautiful. In that case, we grant you hot coffee. The procedure is IFM 11.4.203.
FM 11.4.203. Thank you kindly.
No problem, sir. Enjoy.
And Houston Station on 2 for PWD with the go back.
We are ready to go back, Chris.
Yeah, so I made a cup of coffee, and I noticed that the light was off and did not turn back on, even, you know, turning off the dispense switch, making sure that was all off. But after giving it a few minutes and floating back, the light came back on and it went back to dispensing, you know, hot water. So I'm wondering if it just was heating or something where it wasn't ready to dispense, but the breaker hadn't tripped. So it doesn't look like the breaker tripped after all, and looks like we're going to get some big. So thank you.
Okay, copy that. Sometimes it does take a little bit to heat up the water if someone had used it previously, so we appreciate the report and we've taken note. Happy thumbs up.
Attention. If All-Star Node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to Node 516222 instead.
Station on 2 for PNC.
Houston's with you on 2.
Tommy, I'm on the usual team's link. It says someone should let me in soon.
Copy that. We saw you momentarily, but the invite dropped off. Can you log out, log back in, and reattempt to join, Jessica?
Thanks.
Houston, Chris on 2 for PWD.
Chris, we are with you for PWD.
Yeah, so we're seeing some weird signatures. I mean, basically just the same thing that happened to me. Jack just tried to make a nice warm apple cider, or hot apple cider, and it came out as a, you know, kind of warmish apple cider. We looked and we saw that the light, the hot light was on. Now as we were looking at it, it's like after he dispensed his drink about, you know, 15 or 20 seconds afterwards, the light just turned off. But, you know, we haven't been, like, super heavily using it in the past, 20 minutes, so... We just wanted to report that signature, and it seems unusual because, you know, usually we don't have a problem with having multiple hot drinks with it.
And Chris, back with you on 2, no response required. We got you in the cam view. Just want to let you know that you are still go to use hot water, the PWD. If throughout the day you can continue reporting any information down, we will continue to collect that data. At this time, we don't have any procedures for you to run, but we are chewing on it, and we'll let you know. Copy thumb. Go on and capture.
And thank you, Sami. I caught all of that. And we'll keep an eye on it and let you guys know if we continue to see any sort of abnormal behaviors of PWD. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You got it all right. Yeah. The way these babies all fight. You got it all right.
station, Jackson 2 for EMU water sample tool labels.
Hey, Jack, we're with you on 2 for water sample tools.
Tommy, I'm looking at the execute note that got sent up with making sure all the serial numbers are matching, and I'm just seeing that feed water sample tools are labeled 1001 through 1004, and the cooling water sample tools have the same serial numbers. I wonder if we might be better off if we, 1005 through 1008, since the tools are identical, you could easily just the word feed water for cooling if we at least have different serial numbers. Might help differentiate these in the future. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Jack, I think we like your suggestion a lot, so your go to go ahead and change the serial numbers to what you proposed. Just let us know or repeat back what that final number is for us.
I'm just going to add 4 to the cooling water sample tool serial numbers, so 1002 will become 1006 and so on.
Copy, adding 4 to cooling water serial numbers. Sounds great. We will take note and pass it along to EVA. See the OK sign.
Attention. If All-Star node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to node 516222 instead.
Tune station, check on 2-4 EMU feed water tools.
Jack, we're with you.
There's it's 2 feed water tools and 1 cooling water tool in the bag for 300 for EMU 3003. You just want me to pick one of those and relabel it as the cooling water tool for 3005, right? There's no necessarily rhyme or reason here. I'm just kind of on that double and relabeling it.
Yep, Jack, you have the right idea of the plan. Relabel the tool of your choice. No, rather, it is your choice. Copy, double okay. And excited dance. And pointing at yourself.
Houston station on cue for PWD.
Hey, Chris, thanks for calling us back about PWD. If you've got a little bit of extra data for you, we will take it. We also have a procedure for you to execute if and when you have time to help us out.
Yeah, I just went over to I noticed that the light was indeed off. But I'm happy I got a few minutes.
Awesome. Thanks for the data point there. So this time we'll actually have you execute that IFM procedure we called up earlier, 11.4.203. You can do that as written. Part of it is that we suspect that the heater circuit breaker for PWD may have tripped. I see you nodding your head there. And as well, when you take off that top panel for PWD, if you can give us just a visual inspection of what you see in the guts and any observations.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, I mean, I'd originally thought that the breaker had just tripped, but, the fact that it kind of, like, came back on made me, like, I wonder. So, yeah, I'll take a look in there and see what I see and reset the breaker if indicated.
Yep, copy that, Chris. And just for sharing a bit of our suspicion there, your first dispense might have had the lukewarm water that was in the line, and perhaps the second dispense was a pocket of hot water, and since then we think the tank may be getting cold, so. Just a hypothesis at this point, but we will continue with our troubleshooting.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I'll take a look, and hopefully circuit breaker reset will set it right. I'll let you know.
Thank you, sir.
Houston, Chris on 2. The PWD circuit breaker was indeed tripped and was in the OFF position, so I'll reset it, and hopefully that fixes everything. And I like you guys' hypothesis as to why the light was periodically coming on. Thank you.
Happy OFF. Thank you for the report.
Houston, Chris on 2 for PWD. I'm complete up through step 7 and just waiting for the water to heat back up. I put the cables back in the configuration that they were. The procedure calls for some photo documentation. Happy to do that if you want, but just wanted to ask first.
Happy that, Chris, and we always appreciate photo documentation if you're willing to provide it.
I am willing, so I will take some photos, and I will let you know once the water's heated up and verify that we've got hot water. Thank you.
And Chris, back with you on 2, just as a calibration, we do expect the heat up might take on the order of about 30 minutes, plus or minus, 15 or so.
Tom, yep, copy all. Yep, saw that in the procedure and figured I'd probably come back a little bit later this evening to check on it after my next ultrasound procedure.
Copy, great plan.
Houston Station 2, photos of PWD are on SSC7, and when I was taking the photos, the hot water dispense light came back on. I dispensed some, and it is indeed nice and hot again, so I think we've gotten it all sorted. Thank you for your help.
Copy, SSC7, great news.
Houston Station, Jackpot 2, we're looking for a go to unlatch the Node 1 Nadir hatch.
Jack, you have the go you are looking for.
Happy go.
Houston Station, Jackpot 2 for Node 1 Nadir hatch.
Houston's with you, Jack.
Node 1 Nadir hatch is unlatched 2.6 turns. The indicator is about at the test position.
We copy 2.6 in test position. Thanks for your help.
Where's
Houston Integrity, we're getting ready for DPC. Would you like the D5 stream on the 4K encoder for DPC? We would enjoy that.
Integrity, we'd love that.
And good morning.
Good morning to you. Integrity, we are on board with the D5.
Houston Station, Jackpot 2 for TOCA calibration results.
This is with you on 2, Jack.
The TOC was 2632 milligrams a liter. The Tango India Charlie was 651 milligrams a liter. The Tango Oscar Charlie Romeo Sierra Delta was 2%. It also says to mention the alert CalCheck sample percent error was negative 11.7%.
All right, Jack, we copy. Just to close the loop on the expired TOCA packets as well, we're drafting a task list activity to trash those packets, but for now you can just leave them where you found them in lab 1 overhead 5.
All right, thanks for the essay, and yeah, appreciate it.
Good morning, Houston. We are 202,300.
Station Houston on 2-4 Chris and quick USB troubleshooting.
We are happy about that. We're ready for morning DPC.
We're happy about that, too, and ready for DPC. We've got about a dozen quick items for you, the first of which is updated nominal burn plan and nominal RTC last are on board. Next, for Victor, a reminder for your exercise, per the execute note at
NET.
We'll
be looking on the news, Christine, a second.
And Chris is with you on the
phone. Oh, we're stepping on each other.
Victor,
NET, 22 hours, 20
if you have a moment, we were
going to
ask for your help with a cycling of a USB dongle. Would you be able to help us?
I am totally able to help cycle a dongle.
Okay, Stan, if you could just give us a call and remind
us. Awesome. The laptop in question is the NMS laptop in Lab Starboard 5. And all that we ask is that you cycle the USB dongle that does not have the blinking light. So it should be the one in
the
front left.
For exercise yourself. We have 3 hours.
Okay, I see the NMS laptop.
Last night,
one of the front left
hours
does actually have blinking lights on. The one on the front right. 11%
of room in the tank. So we would really like to treat tank
in
volume
that case, we
as
take
a
the front right
for entry today. We'll keep that vent going, but we're asking you not
copy
to
that.
Use the toilet
and
for urine until then. And we understand that you're down to support that with CCU use, but wanted to be certain. Over.
Houston, I recycled that dongle, and no light should come back on the front right one. Is that expected?
Roger. Thank you. For FecoCan R&R, we know of one full container. Are there others? Over.
We have the other end of that Ethernet cable and where it's supposed to be plugged into. I'm happy to go check there, too, make sure it's still plugged in.
That's a negative for now.
Roger that. Last item for the toilet, no Oxone R&R for today's toilet maintenance. Over.
We're talking about it down here.
Okay, I do love the smell of Oxone in the morning, but it sounds good. No R&R today.
Roger that. Next, PCD1 is not showing a micro SD card inserted. If there is a card there, would you please reseat it?
Yep, Stan, we will work on that.
Okay. Next, DU2 had today's flight plan pulled up when we updated that plan, so we'd like you to close and reopen the flight plan on DU2. And we see your thumbs up.
Okay, Christine is knocking that out right now.
Sweet. Jeremy for docking cam.
And Chris,
install.
We're back with you on Space Ground 2. If the light still hasn't come back on, we'll take that Ethernet check at Lab Deck 2, the ISL interface panel, Ray Charlie 1.
I'd say probably 20
Copy
minutes.
Copy that. Negative on the light still. I will check out Gray Charlie 1 on the ISL interface panel.
F3 in the clamshell, and it's not as bad to unstow it. It's a little bit harder to stow it. The cables are a bit unwieldy, but other than that, once you know what you're doing, it's pretty quick.
Stand by. And can you give us an estimate of how long it takes from once the camera is out of the locker to installation complete?
For a first-time install, 20 minutes. For every other, if you're doing it by yourself, 5 minutes.
Hey, this is Chris.
Thank you. That's
too
very helpful.
I've checked the ISO interface panel, and Gray Charlie 1 appears
when you
empty,
turn on the
and it doesn't
monitor.
Feel like there's
can
any obvious
call,
cable around
things here on the ground.
Talk to you on the other side of that, Lewis.
He will give you a call.
Thank you. Our last item. Science got your audio files from the first 5 hours of the flyby. We did not find any from the eclipse time frame. Are there any? And if so, where may we find them?
There's definitely going to be some on PCD2. I would look through all the PCDs. Jeremy was the primary commentator there. But we can also look and get back to you.
Roger, we'll check PCD2 first and the others, but if you can give us a clue later, that would be helpful. And that's it from MCC Houston. What you got for us?
Okay, sounds good. And we will just do a quick check on board as well. We have, from your notes in the mission summary, the BOBS. We are working our way through BOBS, but we are nowhere near completing all the food on board. For instance, I went through an inventory of my food today, and I expect to have 1.5 BOBs remaining at the end of the flight, and all my BOBs are in bag 16, but we will go and do a pretty good inventory. Overall, I'd say we're...
And Chris, we're back with you. We have a new location, an updated location for you in Lab Deck 1, ISL Interface Panel, Pilot Alpha 3.
I think the big thing we need for the food is when we start realizing we have uneaten food that we are not going to eat for the remainder of the mission, just tell us where you want us to stow that.
We will do that.
Okay, we have two more topics. First is just a quick one for Huntsville, but don't leave us, Houston. For Avatar, lights 15 and 16 are out. All others are on. And I'm going to hand the microphone to my esteemed colleague and fellow naval aviator.
Pod copies Avatar.
Actually, Sam, we want to knock out some questions from the mission summary.
And we're ready for questions from the mission summary.
Yes, for the volume in the contingency urine storage bag, I would estimate 300 to 500 mils. And I will continue to use it. And if you'd like me to report, I can.
Copy volume, and thanks for bearing with us.
For email sync, you can keep as scheduled. Sorry, we talked over each other, Stan. Can you please repeat?
Yeah, Christina, we copy volume in the contingency storage bag, and thank you for bearing with us. Also copy that we can keep the mail sync where it is.
And thank you for your answer, but I think we are questions complete.
And nothing further here in the control room, so we'll call DPC complete. Have an excellent day.
Houston, Chris on 2. I did check Violet Alpha 3. That was the same Ethernet cable, same serial number. It looks to be firmly plugged in and good condition over there as well. But still, unfortunately, no lights.
Members of the Association of Space Explorers, NASA astronaut Christina Cook, and Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen. Reed and I are both members, and we're proud to welcome the two of them to this international...
Thanks for your help publishing. And
thank you for those words, and welcome to the club.
And Houston, a question on acoustic monitor.
We're listening.
And given that we have the USB charger on board now. I was just going to plug it in instead of using batteries throughout the day. And I was also going to install it at the bottom of the docking tunnel, right behind the Nat Geo microphone. That's pretty central. So instead of putting it on the DUs, it'll be bottom of the docking tunnel, opposite the windows.
Copy, checking. And Jeremy, we are good with plugging the acoustic monitor into the USB charger, and we're good with your install location.
Okay, perfect, thanks. And then at nighttime, if we're doing docking camera tonight, which I suspect we are, then I'll transition it to PCD power.
Sensation on 2 for a PO setup.
Checking.
Hey, Jessica, we're with you on 2 for PAO.
And Jeremy, we like your plan.
Hey, Sami, we were thinking about trying a slightly different setup today since it's supposed to be more of a casual conversation with our friends. We were going to go for, instead of just like a dead-on facing the camera, kind of like a gathered around the campfire, gathered around the ATU, but somehow in like a little semicircle so that we're still all facing the camera. Let me know what PAO thinks about that.
Copy that, Jessica. We are talking to PAO. And Jessica, we're back with you on Space Ground 2 here. We're trying to get hold of PAO to double-check on the casual setup. But while we do that, I did want to ask that in the meantime, in the run-up to this space-to-space event, let's go ahead and just move operational comm to Space to Ground 3. Space to Ground 2 will be the big loop, and just in an abundance of caution, we'll talk on 3. As well, we wanted to let you know that when you are speaking to the Orion crew, it'll take 4 seconds for their voice to come down, 4 seconds for it to come back up to you, so 8 seconds total in delay. Just want to give you a heads up about that latency.
8, not 1 long minute.
Thankfully not, and hopefully we'll be back with you shortly on the setup here. We do know that the intent of the recording is to eventually overlay the audio with the recording, so once PAO gives us an answer, we'll see what the best plan is.
Okay, we copy, and we will bring up 3 right here for now to talk to you, but then we will punch it off and only have 2 up in the gem for the actual event.
Good plan. Moving to 3.
Okay, Houston, the acoustic monitor is set up, and it is recording, and I will take a photo of that for you. I think I'll just take the photo on the iPhone and put it on PCD3 for you, if that's okay, because we're using the D5 right now for the PAO event.
Copy all, Jeremy. We like it. And Integrity Houston, just a reminder for the upcoming ship-to-ship call, it's going to be the OE1 microphone, not the handheld. And Integrity Houston, for a downlink, on the 4K encoder, we only need the video, not the audio.
Houston, thanks for that. We have restarted the stream with audio off, and hopefully you're getting a good image.
We copy the audio, and we see a great image.
Integrity, this is Houston.
Integrity,
are you ready for
Houston.
The event? Are you ready for the event?
Integrity is ready for the event.
Integrity is ready for the event.
Station, this is Mission Control
Station,
Houston.
This is Mission Control
Houston. Integrity for a
Please
voice
call
check.
Integrity for a voice check.
Integrity,
International
Space Station.
Station.
How do you hear?
Hey, International Space Station, and Jessica, we have you loud and clear. How about us? Clear. How about us?
We have you loud and clear as well, and we have TME TV up, so we have a view of you right now, and it is making us so excited. We feel like you're here with us, and this is really just making our entire interview right now. We've been following along with the incredible photos and current presentations that you've been recording.
We have been waiting for this like you can't imagine. Let me go check on our PFD. We are 201,726 nautical miles from planet Earth, which is just hard to believe. The scale to read, the scale to read. And for the run of show this morning, I'll say it with Ty, which I've done. I'll hand the microphone to fellow Chuck Jeremy. And they'll pull that U3A while just get on with it. Yeah, thanks for giving
me
the
microphone
time before the
E-Pulse
get after him. But
All right, my turn. I'm excited to talk to you guys. It's been awesome. Being rookie has been such an awesome story. I know you guys have a tight crew as well.
I just had a process escape, but my water training failures.
Well, we can tell that you guys are definitely experiencing Ranger, right? I feel like even we are experiencing Ranger right now. I think this album sounds like a great band, but it's really good to be done for this album. I'm so happy to be here.
Integrity Houston, ISS is doing a secret handover. They'll be back with you shortly.
We are loving all four of you from here. Keep the space station in low Earth orbit. We'll keep the fires burning here. And we'll keep carrying the fire. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. National Space Station, over and out. Made our day to talk to you.
Integrity Station, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes our event.
Thank you to all participants. Integrity and Station, we're now resuming operational audio communications.
My goodness, Houston, that was amazing for all four of us. All smiles up here. Just thank you so much for enabling that. That was very, very special to this crew.
We were happy to do it. You should have seen all the smiles in the control room, and we had a packed visitors gallery, and everybody was grinning up there, too.
And, Stan, that just made us all cheer up here as well. That is just such a cool thing for you.
And here we are experiencing it.
Houston Integrity, where did you want to do that flyby conference? On OE1 or OE2?
Jeremy, around Earth 1, please. And Kelsey, standing by.
Okay, Kelsey, fire away.
Integrity Science, I have to start with a giant wow. Our whole lunar science team and the broader science community has been pouring out positive feedback and gratitude, so know that what you did yesterday really made a difference scientifically. Also want to say the science team has confirmed the locations of the proposed Integrity and Carroll craters, and it was such a powerful moment here for everybody listening and following along. And then also, just before I dive into the list of questions, we heard both Christina and Victor yesterday commenting that being able to discuss with each other amongst your crew, taking things from observation to inference to hypotheses, really added scientific value, and so we'd love to build on that here. So we'll ask specific questions for you guys, but please treat it like a discussion, as we heard you yesterday that enhanced value. When you're ready, I'll dive into our questions.
Okay, Kelsey, love all those words. Your plan sounds good. The one thing I wanted to ask you about today during this was I did not record at all where we saw the impact flashes yesterday, so I was thinking maybe I should do that. And if I mean, it's very, very, very rough, so I don't know if that's of any value or not, but if Reed and I can record a rough mission in OneNote, do you want to get them off the PCDs, or you just get them when we land? What do you want to do with that?
Can you read exactly the first question on our list? So I'll actually just jump right in, and I think I'll answer your question. So number one question was, Reed and Jeremy each reported 3 impact flashes. There were audible yells of excitement in the SIR, and we do not feel we have clarity on when the first 4 of those impact flashes occurred. And so we had follow-ups on, were the flashes brief or were they prolonged, and did you notice any color? And to directly answer Jeremy's question, yes, please, please do make an annotation on where you think you saw those, because right now the citizen science community is analyzing the data and trying to narrow down where you would have seen those.
Okay, Kelsey, I was just comparing notes with Reed here. We both experienced the same thing. It's a pinprick of light. I would suspect there were a lot more of them. However, you're going to really be staring at the middle of the dark and not looking at the edges of the, you know, sun glow around the moon. And it is just a momentary flash, no color, but the size of a star, and it really only lasts, you know, milliseconds, a half a second at most.
That's great feedback, Jeremy. Did want to also talk relatedly about any kind of galactic ray flashes you may have experienced. So have any of you guys experienced flashes in your eyes during the mission related to galactic rays, either like while working or sleeping, just to try to speak to the difference between those and what you saw yesterday?
Yeah, 100% difference in those and what we saw yesterday. We see, I definitely see a dozen or two every night when I'm going to sleep. I can talk about those if you want, the galactic flashes, galactic cosmic ray flashes. But the impacts on what we suspect were impact flashes were absolutely 100% different. And Jeremy said like half a second. I would say they were a millisecond, like the fastest a camera shutter can open and close. That is what I saw. And I would say they were just white, bluish white, and the size of, Jeremy said size of a star. I really like that analogy from space. It was just a pinprick of light. And maybe it was a priming bias, but to me, there was no doubt we were seeing it. And we were all seeing it. So it was, and we were correlating.
Great stuff, Reed. Yeah, don't need the description of the galactic gray flashes. So I guess last question for you guys on that. We definitely want that annotation. Please let us know when you have that, and we'll try to downlink it in flight. But when during the period did you see them? Because I think we heard from you like 20 minutes in that you had already seen a couple. So any timing granularity you can provide would help us find evidence from those, from the ground and from LRO.
Well, I mean, I think it was just whenever we were intentionally looking for impact flashes. We were looking pretty hard. The eclipse occurred, and then we had about 5 minutes of human emotional reaction to staring at that orb floating in the vastness of space. And then right after that, we were like, oh, somebody in the cabin said, let's look for impact flashes, or I see an impact flash. And then we started looking at it, and as we were looking, we all just saw, you know, one or two or three. Mine were, Jeremy's annotating right now, and then I will annotate on his as well. I never saw any that would have been in the Earth glow side, so I do not suspect any that I saw would be able to be correlated from a Earth-based science team.
Great feedback. So it sounds like when you guys reported multiple impact flashes, it could have been that you guys all saw the same ones occurring. Any guidance on how many total you saw?
Yeah. We didn't necessarily announce everyone out in the cabin, though. I saw two different ones. He saw one before mine, and then I know I saw another one after that. So we'll try and give you the annotation and what order they came in. But just remember, this is just very rough.
That's great. Moving on. A question for Christina and any others that observed something similar. Christina suggested there may have been possible lofted dust just prior to Earthrise. Can you describe what you saw just before the Earth popped out from behind the moon? And any other crew, did you witness anything similar to what Christina is about to describe?
Hey, Kelsey. Earthrise. I was still on eclipse for some reason. Yes, okay. My crewmates were a little, they didn't see it the same as I did. What I saw was when it got close, so as you know, a crescent rose, so it was kind of like two fangs came up, one fang and then later another fang, and then eventually the center of the mile, the crescent. And right before the center of the crescent, came up to right before the crescent was there was when I thought I saw something.
That's a very evocative description, Christina. Thanks. You noticed it was gray. You kind of highlighted a gray color. Did it, you know, what was the thickness of it above the surface of the moon? And anything else you can describe about what made you think it was lofted dust?
Yeah, and to be clear, this is Earthrise, right?
Affirm Earthrise, because it's that glow from Earth that would allow that lofted dust to become highlighted against space.
Yeah, I was just making sure it wasn't right after Earth set, if that might also be a time. Because the picture I'm building in my mind, I just want to make sure I'm not like creating false memories. Basically, and I think this is why not everyone saw it as lofted dust. It was not tall. It was, it wasn't like the corona where it came up high or anything like that. It was just a slightly different gray color right before it rose. And it was like small enough to be within the fangs of the crescent. It didn't go farther than the inner part of the crescent. And it could have been an optical thing and not lofted dust, but to me, it just sort of appeared, and I felt like it had a glow. I know that those different terms mean things, but I think in this case, that would be the appropriate thing there, that it was potentially, in my mind, some light reflecting off of the Earth and creating a little glow right before the brightest part of the crescent came. came over the horizon.
Exactly what we were looking for. Thank you, Christina. Similarly on dust, we heard that Reed chose for his second crew choice target to look for suspended dust. So, Reed, did you see any glow or hints of that dust earlier that made you come back to that observation?
Negative. Just really wanted to see some, and I saw none.
Understood. Okay, for Christina and Victor, during Earth set, we heard you say that the Earth was so bright it made the moon look dark. So you all had the Earth in view during the majority of your flyby. Did you notice any time when the brightness of Earth began to change your view of the moon's brightness? And can you describe how your perception of the moon's color changed as the Earth came closer to the moon?
Yeah, absolutely. And, actually, as soon as the Earth became in the view, the easy view, where I didn't have to turn my head, when it was in what I'll call my field of view, not my field of regard, when I could just see it looking straight, the moon was already at a point where I was losing how subtle albedo difference is. I think it's the angle of incidence. The angle of the sun to the moon didn't change much, but we moved to the side, so we were seeing a different angle, and the color was less apparent. Oriental had also rotated really close to the limb, so a lot of the features that I was looking at were moving away, but I think the change in lighting was due to the angle of incidence. But then when the Earth became apparent, its brightness, it was so bright. It was so bright it looked out of place. The gray of the moon and the black of space kind of seemed to go together, but then the, more in the dull sense, but then the vividness and brightness, like the difference between an LED display and a painting, right? You can just do things with light that you can't do with paint colors. The Earth looked out of place, and it just continued to dim the albedo and color that was earlier apparent in the moon. I'm passing to Christina.
You saw me nodding vigorously back here. That wasn't just my fantastic listening skills. I was nodding to make sure. Oh, we're not on video. This whole time I've been putting on the show. I was nodding, now you know, because I agreed with everything he said. I'll add a couple thoughts that popped into my mind, which was, I made a comment that the moon turned into a sponge of light. In my mind, before the Earth came into view, the moon actually was reflecting light, and it was lit up. As soon as the Earth got close enough to be in my field of view to take them both in at the same time, exactly what Victor said, it dulled, it turned into a sponge. It's almost like it went matte, like a matte finish. And for me, so that's brightness and albedo. It also, I would say for me, got like a browner top taupe color, like almost an olivey brown, kind of like the boys' pants, not like my pants, but like these pants. And whereas before, I would have said it was more like electric gray and in its grayer areas. So for me, it turned more brown, but a very matte brown. I'm going to stop there. There's one more comment I'll make about when it was very close. Is this interesting?
Absolutely. We take that
observation. The only other thing I wanted to add to that is not scientific on lunar observations, but I think that I know myself in particular, but probably we all underestimated the amount of impact of sunlight and Earth glow on cabin windows, on glare on the window structure, window frame, on the heat shield tiles coming across the cabin. That was a pretty large impact, Kelsey.
That stuck up to us here on the ground as well, Reed, and we were hearing the struggles that all those different expected illumination sources provide, but unexpected in the impact that they had. Speaking of things that had an impact on observations, Victor, we heard during your sit rep when you were in the docking window that having that orange Kapton tape in your field of view affected your color observations. That was fascinating and has a lot of impact for future Artemis missions and hardware and impacts on color. So any other comment you want to make on how your ability to perceive color on the surface was influenced or limited by other objects of color in your view? We're interested here in color rather than brightness.
Absolutely, but all the comments I made about the Earth earlier apply to this one as well. This is the thing I wanted to make sure to add, so I'm glad you asked, is that
the human eye adjusting is another thing that had huge impact. Some of the colors and their patterns did not appear in the moon, Aristarchus Plateau, you know, the browns, the streaks that we saw there, until you stared, kind of like the impact flash. You really have to be staring. And it wasn't because of intention. It was because my eyes were adjusting. And so as soon as I would look inside the cabin, the vehicle, if those bright LEDs that were in the vehicle or if the sun was reflecting off of a corner of the windowsill or the bright earth in the field of view, those things would change my eye, and I'd have to wait for them to adjust again. Now, I want to add, while Victor's talking about that, on the Kapton tape color, let me see if I can nod to my crewmates. But when we're looking at Earth, just a normal Earth lit up by the sun, I mean, the blue picture of, like, Earth Day photos, Apollo 8 photos. But when we look out, the cloud cover is so bright. It is almost blindingly bright, and you really cannot make out significant detail in the Earth when we're at long distance on a sunlit Earth. So it was very interesting to me that the Earth is so bright from the clouds that it is actually hard to look at.
Hey, since we're going discussion style, like you mentioned, I'll add a couple comments on color. I didn't notice color changing my view, except maybe, like Victor said, it was I didn't realize it when I looked down at the PCD and back, because I do think there was a time scale there where you saw things a little differently if you just stared for a long time, and sometimes even staring out into the blackness to kind of reset and come back. So I think that is a note. We were very much reliant on PCDs for instruction, but that did cause our eyes to constantly refresh on those colors. I didn't notice necessarily a color difference, but just like a quality of observation, maybe like he was saying, like the details or the contrast. So it might have even been a night vision thing. Yeah, that's all saying that. I did want to mention that when we were getting the really, really high amount of light into the windows, even the shrouded windows from the sun, the reflection on things behind the observer that are in the cabin was really strong on the window. So there's some high albedo things behind our heads, like there's a white bar, the abort sticker on the RHC, some other metal things, like we have some white bungees. I was trying to observe the dark side of the moon during the Earth set, while the Earth was behind it, and I ended up asking Reed to give me some black t-shirts, and we covered all of that stuff so that the reflection was just less in the glass, and it worked so well. It basically made observing for impact flashes possible, whereas it wouldn't have been otherwise. So that's a good tip, and I would even, if you ask this in the future, like a black room, a dark room cloth or something to lay behind the observers. Finally, back on the question of moon color change during Earth set, the other thing that happened, which was kind of, I think, just more in the category of like a mirage or something, even though I recognize there's no atmosphere around the moon that would do that would cause the same things as mirages on Earth. There was definitely an effect, like when the Earth actually set, of like when it first touched the moon, it was like your eyes didn't know what to do at that boundary, and it kind of just created a lot of light in that spot. Once it got below that tangent first touch, then it got more normal, and I was able to just see the Earth and see the moon and see their contact. That's all for me. Anybody else on this question?
Thank you, Christina. And as I think I saw you notice, we did just get video a couple minutes ago, so it's nice to see you as we're talking to you. Next question is for all of you. Ohm crater was observed by all four of you, and we're interested in whether your different viewing angles resulted in how you observed Ohm. Jeremy and Reed saw it first. Were you able to see the ejector rays, the central peak? And then Christina and Victor, you were next, and you observed Ohm later in the past. Could you resolve similar or different features than what you're about to hear from Jeremy and Reed?
The ejecta blanket for Ohm, I mean, it definitely changed as we went around the moon, but it did not change that much. It was always there. It was always fairly apparent. What is more apparent than the ejecta is the, like, the brownish-gray, darker area that makes the, like, 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock cut of the pie shape. Like, that was always very apparent, and the ejecta rays just made that contrast much more apparent. But overall, Ohm did not change drastically as we went around the moon, unlike Oriental, which drastically changed as we went around the moon. And I'll keep going there. I'm kind of going to have to read this question, but it was later on in the orbit that I noticed the ray of Ohm, like the primary ray of Ohm that comes out of roughly the 3 o'clock position was on the Mare. And I'm not sure if I was picking that up initially in our first observations, but definitely in the latter. Did you notice that at all? The near side bar, yeah. Reed says he was noticing that the whole time. That might have been more noticeable to me later on, but that would be the only delta.
Understood, Reed and Jeremy. Curious to hear Victor and Christina's thoughts after hearing you guys.
For the later observation, I was able to see into the crater wall on the east side, and the shadowing there was actually neat, so I could see layers of shadow. So that there's kind of like two faces, or maybe three. I couldn't tell because we were so far away, but I could clearly see light, then dark, then light. And so there was the layering within the interior crater wall on the eastern side. I was able to see the central area, and I actually thought I saw three distinct groupings of something. And I think that's in the recording, but I was so far away, and my eyes were quite tired from adjusting. I was wearing glasses. And looking in at the PCB and then looking out of the window out above the glasses, and so my eyes were really getting to work out, and they've definitely been changing. That's the other thing about the eyes, too. My eyes shifted on this. I'm about to turn 50, and that just was very different than 5 years ago. But I did see interior structure, and I commented on the colors, but again, from the angle we were from the surface, everything just looked plain, but the interior floor seemed to be the same color as the surface outside to the west, but the wall seemed to be a different color, which kind of made this was the same color as the rays and the central lift. But I said this in my recording, and it's already becoming fuzzy, but I made some correlations between there, and I talked about looking at the Grand Canyon, where you can see different layers and know that this is the same as that, even though they're not connected. I think the interior, the floor, and the wall maybe had different color or albedo. I don't remember which one I said in the recording.
I'll pile on with your question. We just brought up the LTP because I forgot that while I was doing this, because there was no shadows on this whatsoever, I think it was towards the end when it was just in full light and very little relief, I kept losing Ohm itself. And I actually thought that there was a crater northeast of Ohm that is at the center of those kind of starfish rays. There actually looked like there was a very simple and old crater there. And that is what I kind of actually went back and forth between that one and now what I see is true Ohm. And I wish I would have referred back to my PCD at the time. But I think the lesson learned here is without any relief, it is very difficult to sometimes make out craters, especially here where the rays are actually offset from where the crater itself is. So you're drawn into a spot. I am so surprised right now that there's not a little crater where those rays meet. Because in my mind, there was, and that was Ohm.
And that reminds me of something else we talked about earlier. When Reed and Jeremy were in the windows, I remember looking at and I said something to you. I think that it doesn't look like purely rays. I did see the continuous feature of that east-west run, that 3 o'clock ray all the way into the near side Mare. There's some interesting something going on there. But at first, it looked to me like just two different, like a contact of two different materials coming together or two different age materials coming together. And when we got on the far side, the far side view, where I was looking back at it, I mean, the later view, it still looked like, I don't know, it sometimes didn't look like a ray. It just looked like different color material. And really, the point of this is not to talk about the 3 o'clock ray and the 12 o'clock ray. It's to talk about the wedge. The wedge looks to me, if you remember my recording comment about continents, I kind of had the near side Mare continent, the middle from Ohm to Oriental, and then the Hertzsprung
continent. Those colors in the wedge look like, and not they are they look the color of, but also the concrete kind of packedness of what's around Hertzsprung. Those look similar. So that's kind of also playing tricks on my eyes between rays and just different material, not just a ray laying on top of the material.
Thanks a lot, Victor and Christina. We're looking forward to continuing to dive into Earth. We want to sign off now to get you guys over to your next activities. Before I do that, I'll just say when you're making those annotations about the impact flashes, any annotations you want to provide about the structures in the corona you saw during the eclipse, we would take those annotations. And that's it for me. It was so wonderful to talk to you over the last 2 days. Thank you again, and can't wait to see you all back here on Earth. Thanks again for what you did for science.
You guys did an extraordinary job preparing us. We really appreciate you. Can't wait to talk more about this. This was too short. For the sunset recording, if you're looking for that, it's on PCD3, and the file name is recording, (13), close bracket.
Copy all, Integrity. Science is over and out.
Integrity Houston, we're maneuvering to the lunar obs attitude, and we'll be ready to dial for the PFC as soon as we see you online.
We copy, and can you say window for science pictures? We're a little PCD limited.
Checking. Christina, window 2.
Copy, we see it coming into view. You guys look gorgeous.
Why, thank you.
Houston Integrity, that moon gets small quick when you're leaving it. Wow. Moon and Earth are just about the same size. We saw the Earth for a minute. Now Christina's looking at the moon. Pretty awesome.
We copy. Thanks for the report. Integrity Houston, we're maneuvering back to bias tail to sun. Also, we're preparing to clean up your onboard burn plans. And at DPC, we forgot to ask you for AGA numbers. Could you please give us those?
Okay, Sam. AGA just came on, as you heard. Give us 5 minutes. We'll give you a reading, and we copy the other remarks. All good.
Roger.
And Houston Integrity for opportunistic science imaging note.
We're listening.
Yeah, just wanted to mention that towards the end of that opportunity, I'm not sure if it was after the maneuver started or just before it started, but the sun was out the window that I was observing on, and I went to go look for the moon to take more pictures of it after kind of pulling my vision away to look at the lunar targeting package. And when I put the camera back out, I ended up pointing it directly at the sun for a second. So just a reminder that if something's going to change to where the sun is now in the view that people are looking out at the camera, just give us a heads up.
We will do that. Thanks for that information. On another topic, your new state vector is on board.
Awesome, thanks. And I'll be ready for my PFC in a couple minutes. Do I need to tell you all which PCD I'll be on?
And Christina, no, we don't need to know which PCD you're on. We'll just dial your account.
Copy, I'll be signing in shortly. Appreciate it. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Houston Integrity, confirm we are go for secondary purge lined up.
We are go for those dumps.
Can you remind me again, Stan, when we have to stand down from them today?
Checking. And Reed, we'd like you to stand down from CCU dumps between MET 3 hours and MET 5 hours 30 minutes, except for the scheduled dump on Victor's timeline at 3:10.
Okay, we copy, Stan. I'm in the process of setting up the recorded exercise. I would appreciate a call up with a 2-minute warning to stand down from exercise.
That's on our to-do list, Victor. Don't worry. Integrity Houston, Orbit One team is stepping off headset for a few minutes to take our team photo. We'll be back with you shortly.
Sure. Sounds great, Stan. Enjoy that and savor that moment. Please savor that moment. What an exceptional time.
Will do, sir.
Attention. If All Star Node 516221
becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to node 516222 instead.
Houston Integrity, are you ready for AGA readings?
Yes, Jeremy, we're ready to take those AGA readings.
And Houston, there's no rush if you're still taking the photo. Just going to give you AGA readings, whatever you want.
Jeremy, go ahead with those AGA readings.
27.8 for C or for O2, and CO2 is 1.5.
Copy numbers. Do you have temperature and pressure?
10.4 for pressure and 77.3 for temperature.
Sir. Integrity Houston for burn conference and targeting.
Go ahead, Stan.
Hey, Jeremy, our GNC maneuvers are conflicting with our preliminary targeting activity. So we may have to do prelim a little later, or we may skip it entirely and pick up at intermediate. We'll keep you posted on how it's going.
Okay, copy that. And then when, just cue me up on when the latest trajectory information is on board for targeting. We have the latest burn plan on board?
Jeremy, we do not have the latest on board yet. That's one of the things that we're trying to catch up with. So the burn conference scheduled before preliminary targeting is definitely canceled. Again, we'll call you when we have updates.
Okay. Understood, Sam. No problem. We're pretty flexible.
And, Jeremy, we're expecting approximately 30 minutes to get the new burn plan on board.
Okay. Understood, Sam.
Thanks for tuning in to our coverage of NASA's Artemis II mission. We are now standing by for the start of our daily press conference. If you're watching via our YouTube stream, you can continue watching here for the press conference, and we'll be back with live coverage shortly after.
Integrity Houston for Victor, this is your two-minute warning. Please stop exercise within 2 minutes for the OPNAV maneuver.
And we're tracking. You just completed. Thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome.
Integrity for the PFCs today. We'll just leave MS-1 logged into VC. You can just call that one.
Copy, Jeremy.
Attention. If All-Star node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to node 516222 instead.
Houston Integrity on one for ARS.
Go ahead for ARS.
Hey, we really appreciate the lower fan speed. Is there any way we could just bump it up here for maybe the next hour as we're preparing for the burn conference and we've had some exercise going, and it would just be good to get a little more airflow moving?
We can do it, and it's in work.
Okay.
Houston Integrity, we are ready anytime you are for the burn conference.
Integrity, we are ready. I'm looking at a burn pad and have deltas ready to read when you're ready to copy.
And we're pulling them out. In the meantime, could you please say the ground generation date? I'll check that, and then I'll be ready to copy your deltas.
Ground generation date is GMT 907, 15 hours, 13 minutes, 00 seconds.
Go ahead.
All right, deltas only. Predicted EI is MET 009er, 01 hours, 18 minutes, 16 seconds.
Go ahead.
Down and to the left, line 17, the DAP load is 3 for burn maneuver.
Go ahead.
In the guidance solution section, the delta V tote now 1.4 feet per second. The TGO is unchanged at 15 seconds.
Good, go ahead.
Attitude, yaw 154, pitch 26, roll 287.
Copy, go ahead.
And the last bit's the delta V, X, minus 1.2, Y, 0.6, Z, minus 0.6.
We copy all. Thanks for that clear read-up, and we see that our next step is to run two-level targeter.
We concur. We'll be watching. And just a reminder that we're not pressurizing the tanks before this burn, so we're going to do it and blow down.
Copy blow down, and understand we have a go to complete step 9 on board, even though the burn execution steps show it as a skip.
Checking. Oh, good catch, Christina. We missed that. That should not say skip. We do want you to do step 9 for intermediate targeting.
Copy y'all. We will do it and chat up with you after. Thank you.
Roger.
And here, Houston Integrity, with that, if you wouldn't mind just giving the rest of the burn execution steps a once-over, we think they all look nominal from here on out, but we'd feel better. Let us know if you see any other deltas. Thank you.
We will run an additional check and call if we find any other problems.
Perfect. Thanks.
And Integrity Houston for Christina, we have double-checked all of the steps in the pad for the execution, and we found no more mistakes.
You guys rock. Thanks.
And Christina, while we've got you, we have increased the fan speed, and we're wondering if you want us to keep it at this level for the next exercise session.
We feel it, and yes, please.
We will do that. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Attention. If All-Star Node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to Node 516222 instead.
Integrity Houston for the timeline. Integrity Houston for the timeline. Integrity Houston, voice check, Orion Earth 1.
You have you loud and clear, Stan.
We have you the same. Did you hear two earlier calls for a timeline about 3 minutes ago?
Negative. Go ahead, those calls again.
Okay. We had just tried to get your attention for some timeline things. It looks like there was some uplink going on elsewhere in the system. We're going to chase that down. For the timeline, can you please give us a status on the RHC install and the docking cam install?
Yeah, we're just processing the docking cam install right this moment. Probably it'd be another 2 minutes before it's up. And we're assuming we need to do... Oh, disregard that. And then the RC, we knew it was in the procedure earlier. It's prepped, not quite up yet, but it's in position. So we're good with the RC.
If you're happy, we're happy, and copy the docking cam. Next, at the end of your midday meal, we've got a scheduled flight director crew conference. The vehicle looks great. We don't think we need that conference, and if you agree, we can cancel.
Okay. Crew's good up here. We can go ahead and cancel that.
All right, and finally, we saw your intermediate targeting complete successfully, and the solution looks good from here.
Okay, we concur, Stan. Appreciate it.
That's it for now. Enjoy your lunch.
We most certainly will enjoy this very rare lunch out in deep space. Okay, Houston, you can go ahead and check the docking tunnel and make sure you're seeing everything you expect in the camera.
Copy, we'll take a look.
And Houston Integrity, one update. Since the docking camera is now installed, I'm running the acoustic monitor off of battery until bedtime.
Copy, acoustic monitor on batteries, and we have checked and are getting good data from the docking camera. Thanks for that work.
Okay, appreciate that.
Integrity Houston for smoke detector.
I'm looking at it right now, and it looks good, Stan. What's up?
It is showing us a bunch of noise and spikes. We're wondering if something is bumping against it.
We were just setting up for a photo in the cabin, but I do not think we have hit it. So that would be abnormal. Christina's checking it. There is one charging cable near it that she's re-anchoring now, but nothing is really in the way of that thing.
Right, copy, read. Actually, that's a helpful report. We might have been getting some interference with that cable. We'll keep an eye on it. And Integrity, we are no longer seeing that noise on the smoke detector, so we're suspecting interference from that cable.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
Integrity Houston, two items. Number one for 12.2.2509, orbit burn execution, plus X flange heaters are on, and prop avionics are configured.
Okay, we copy, Sam.
And unfortunately, we have seen the spikes return in the signal from the smoke detector. Can you check that the cable is still not near it and also tell us what cable it was? If that was the EMI off of that cable, we definitely need to document this.
Stan, thanks for keeping an eye on that. Nothing is near the smoke detector right now. The only cable that was an unconnected HDMI cable that goes from cameras, you know, to the encoder. We are near it right now. Like, a couple heads are near it, but other than that, we are not seeing anything that would cause spikes of any kind.
All right. Copy. Thanks for that information. We're still scratching our heads down here.
Houston Integrity for Photo TV.
Go ahead for Photo TV.
Hey, Stan, on PCD2, we threw about 10 images in there in imagery for downlink for Photo TV subfolder. If Photo TV could take a look and hopefully give us a thumbs up, and if not, give us feedback, that would be appreciated.
We will get those down and take a look and get back to you.
Attention. If All-Star node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to node 516222 instead.
Integrity Houston, 2 minutes to Starfield maneuvers, and we have a couple of other words for you.
Starfield, Stan, go ahead, your words.
All right, late call SM prop helium ISO valves are configured. The aux branch 1 will remain closed. There is no change to the burn plan or to the pad. However, right after the burn, we're going to change the active burn plan to the plan in slot 4, which is nominal PLS RTC last.
That makes sense. We're expecting that, Stan. Sounds great. And Stan, while we have you, there's a new photo in PAO for downlink on PCD2.
Copy. We'll go look for the photo on PCD2.
Houston Integrity, are we okay for secondary purge line?
Checking. And Integrity, we are go for secondary line.
Great, thank you.
Integrity, Starfield maneuvers complete.
Copy, Stan, thank you.
Integrity, we see good targeting. Go to burn the onboard. Also, MCC has pulled go for RGC1. And a reminder, there's a 1 hour forward link LOS right about the time of the burn, so we can watch but not call or command during that period. And correction, we're still assessing go for the burn.
Okay, that sounds good, Stan. Then we'll plan on just closing out 12.2.2509 as per the burn plaid, and we'll talk to you on the other side of that burn then, or after that loss of return or loss of forward.
Roger. Stand by for final go. And Integrity, MCC is go for the burn.
Okay, we copy. You're still go. Then we're go up here.
And Integrity, looking ahead to the forward link LOS, the ARS is configured for exercise, so Christina can begin during the LOS.
Okay, we understand that, and she will follow the procedure and say facades before she starts.
Thank you. Great words. Integrity, tank pressures are good for the burn.
Integrity copies.
Integrity, saws in position for the burn, all brakes set.
We show the same step.
Integrity, optocoupler glitch.
Caution and warnings.
Yep. Optocoupler glitch, you're still go for the burn, no action.
Okay, Sam, and are you guys going to run that procedure from the ground, or we're just not going to bother?
Checking. Jeremy, we're making a plan for recovery complicated by the upcoming forward LOS.
Okay, understood, and we'll be standing by to help you out if you want to send anything to us.
Jeremy, thanks for that offer. Once we figure out what, we will let you know.
Okay, copy. Stand by.
Integrity, this is not an optocoupler glitch. It's something internal to the prop system. Still evaluating.
Understood, Sam.
Integrity, 30 seconds to maneuver.
Okay, Integrity, copy.
Integrity, in attitude for the burn, we may be about 7 degrees different from what was calculated ahead of time, but that's within our tolerance.
Okay, copy. And Houston Integrity, we just want to report what we're seeing here to make sure you're seeing the same thing. So aux helium isolation valve 1 was closed and inhibited prior to the caution and warning. And then it seemed that when aux helium isolation 2 closed and fuel helium isolation valve 1 closed and were inhibited, that is when the caution and warning started.
All correct. Thank you. And Integrity, we had a branch swap. We thought we had inhibited the fitter. Evidently not. We're still evaluating.
Integrity copies.
Integrity Houston for prop. After the burn, we'd like the valve reconfig per the procedure. And recall that's been edited so that you won't touch the branch one aux. We will have 2 PRUs to recover later. We'll do that after the forward link LOS.
Okay, understood. So we will execute the procedure as written with the delta about the aux helium isolation valve 1.
Good words, and the procedure guides you that way.
Thank you, Sam.
Integrity, preliminary look is a good burn. Still assessing. 40 seconds to LOS.
Okay, Sam. We saw a good burn on board as well.
Roger.
Attention. If All-Star node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to node 516222 instead.
Houston Integrity, RHC, STOW is complete and we're proceeding through the prop valve reconfiguration with your comments in mind. Houston Integrity, we're just calling in the blind to keep you synced up with us. We have 2 points we'd like to make. We'll give you a second. All right, the first point in 12.2.2509, when we got to the prop reconfiguration, as you are seeing, our aux helium isolation valve 2 and our fuel helium isolation valve 1 are inhibited, and so we left those closed, and of course, aux helium isolation valve 1 is also closed. We're going to leave them in that config until we get two-way comm back with you. And I've got 1 more item with you. All right, and the second item is we've talked it over as a crew, and based on the recommendations and the daily summary, if we did end up in an off-nominal situation where we absolutely needed prop, we would go ahead and open aux helium isolation valve 1. That's all we got for you. We'll talk to you when you have both forward and return.
Integrity Houston, voice check on Madrid after the LOS.
We're with you, Stan.
We got you loud and clear. During the forward LOS, we copied your call for the RHC STOW. Jeremy, we copied your call about the prop valves in 12.2.2509 and your plan that if you needed prop, you would open not ceiling lights valve 1, and we were good with both of those conclusions. And we have more software words when you're ready.
Okay, Stan, we're ready for those words. Go ahead.
All right, for the prop cautions, it's still an evolving story. We had a fitter function that should have been inhibited, even left enabled. We did not see its trigger conditions being met, yet it executed. So we are running tests starting now to understand this better. That fitter swapped branches and turned off 2 PRUs, and we're putting the recovery steps for that system in work, again, starting now. Current thinking is that we'll disable that fitter for future burns.
Okay, that is understood, Stan.
Also, we saw unexpected software commanding to the Ohms engine after the burn. Flight software checks which burn type you are doing before the burn and not after, and when the software does its engine check, if the OME actuators are on, it assumes you're doing an Ohms burn and will command a post-burn gimbal check. So today the actuators were on for the TVC motion checks we were doing earlier in the day. So despite doing an RCS burn, we got a post-burn Gibble check.
Okay, Stan, understood. No impact on that, but an interesting item to know about. Thanks for that.
We take it seriously when the software doesn't do what we expect. That's all we got for you. It's good to have you back.
Okay, and then what configuration do you plan to put the valves in at this point?
Jeremy, we're going to run procedure 30.52.2200, 30.52.2200 from the ground. That will put us into the valve config that we're seeking, and you can follow along in that procedure if you like.
Okay. And I thought I heard two different procedure numbers, so can you just read that back again?
30.52.2200.
Okay, we got it. And then, we're not going to get into that procedure. We're going to get into some other stuff. But what will be the end configuration for those helium valves?
Jeremy, we're going to end with aux helium branch 1 closed, all other helium branch open.
Okay, understood that. And what about inhibiting? Will anything be inhibited?
Checking. Jeremy, all four helium isols will be enabled, but only aux helium 1 will be closed.
Okay, understood. All enabled and aux helium 1 closed. Appreciate those insights.
Good read back.
And Houston, just one other detail. We want to make sure it got down accurately communicated to you prior to the burn. We went into that seeing aux helium isolation valve 1 inhibited, closed and inhibited, which is not what we were expecting from the daily summary. We just wanted to make sure that that was clear to you, and that's what you were seeing as well.
Yeah, sorry, Jeremy. We inhibited that valve from the ground earlier, and we should have told you about it.
Okay. All right. That closes all the loops for us. We're doing good up here. Everything feels great, and we're just working through our timeline. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. And FYI, we're doing team handover to Orbit 2 as we speak.
Copy that. Thanks, Orbit 1, and looking forward to working with Orbit 2.
Okay, one more question for you. We're 18 minutes out from an attitude maneuver and wondering what the exercise plan is.
We were a bit late getting to that exercise. The intention was to still do it. Can we do exercise through the CCU dump? Any restrictions on that?
Checking.
And while you're checking that, Stan, if you guys could just safely raise for us from the ground, we'd appreciate it.
So, Jeremy, we can't exercise during attitude maneuvers, and we have an attitude maneuver at the beginning and at the end of the CCU activity that's coming up here. So I think we're going to have to shift exercise to the far side of the CCU dump.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. All right. We will sync you up on what the plan is. We may start exercise before the CCU dump, if you're okay with that, and then cease it prior to your maneuvers, if that works for you.
Copy. We'll give you a two-minute warning for stopping exercise to allow a raise to damp and then do the attitude maneuver. Basically, you only have 10 minutes before the
right,
you have to stop.
Plan. This is just a resistive set for Christina, so it's easy to stop it in the middle and pick it up after the dump.
Okay. And, Jeremy, we'd like you to not try to start exercise before the CCU dump. We'll pick it up on the other side, please.
Okay. I understand your direction is to defer exercise till after the CCU dump.
Yes. Thank you.
Integrity Houston, 2 minutes to the maneuver to the CCU dump attitude.
Integrity copy.
And Ike, while I've got you, we have two requests for you on this activity.
Okay, I'm ready to copy.
All right, if you would please just let us know when you start and stop the vent and how many CCUs you dump, if more than one.
Okay, I will let you know. I plan to dump 2 CCUs. And I will let you know when I start and when I stop. And just confirm through the maneuver, though, we are still go for CCU dumps until then.
And Victor, if you would please pause on any dumping until we get to the timelined activity.
Okay, we copy. We have paused secondary line dumping.
Thank you.
Houston Integrity, we have dropped a VC call. Can you please redial?
In work.
Okay, Houston, we're about 60 seconds from the first CCU dump.
Copy.
Okay, Houston, turning the knob, the valve in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Houston copies, vent started.
Okay, I stopped the dump. We don't like to let Houston the CCUs copies, collapse. I'm going to vent it, let it open back up, and then start the dump again in 10 seconds.
We copy, Victor.
Vent is open. Houston Integrity starting the second CCU dump in 5, 4, valve closed, venting, and dumping the rest of the second CCU in 10 seconds.
We copy.
Houston Integrity, that is the filled CCU dumps complete. I can actually provide another one for you in about 2 minutes if you want, and actually I would love to do that if that's an option.
And Victor, we'll be happy to take you up on that. For your awareness, the maneuver out of this attitude kicks off at 3:20.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly clear, that's when we would want the dump to be complete.
Victor copies.
Integrity Houston, for awareness, we are one command away from clearing the prop cautions that are on the board. And if you want to follow along, you can look on the prop SMPRU display.
All right, Houston, we're starting it up in 3 seconds.
Copy.
I'm off to vent, starting in 5. Okay, Houston, CCU dump complete.
Copy. Perfect timing. Integrity Houston, for awareness, once we complete this maneuver, we will park the saws and we will let you know, but we are prioritizing getting into configuration to allow you to begin exercise expediently.
Thank you so much, Tess.
Integrity Houston, the saws are parked. You are go for exercise.
Copy. Thanks. Starting now.
Attention. If All-Star Node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to node 516222 instead.
Houston Integrity, low priority question for prop system when you have a minute.
We have as many minutes as you need.
That should be quick. We see that the prop system is reconfigured after RTC1. The only thing that we wanted to clarify from our crew displays is that it looks to us like Oxhelium Isol 1 is both closed and inhibited. We expected it to be closed, but not inhibited.
Checking. And Reed, you are just one step ahead of us. We had inhibited it as part of the recovery process, but we are about to re-enable it as our last step.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. And while I got you, just wanted to give you a heads up. We've got slot 4 active on board for RTC last.
All right, high fives all around. That's a big accomplishment for the team and for the mission. Thank you.
Integrity Houston, for any available regarding additional annotations on science impact flashes.
Go ahead, Houston.
Hey, we understand that you guys have some additional annotations that you made in OneNote regarding impact flashes. And the easiest way, we think, to get that to us is if you would take a screenshot of those additional annotations and place that in imagery for downlink, which will save us having to re-downlink the OneNote file.
Okay, I'll do that right now. It'll be on PCD3, and it is a work of art.
Copy, Jeremy. We look forward to taking a look.
Houston Integrity, confirm we are good for a secondary wastewater dump.
Checking. And Integrity Houston, for the CCU dumps, we are still analyzing imagery related to the timelined dump. We would like you to hold off on any additional dumping until the end of our analysis activity, which is in approximately 90 minutes, and we'll give you a call when that's complete.
Okay, we copy. Holding off on dumping in. You confirm 1-9 or 9-0 minutes.
And that is 9-0 minutes. Of course, you can let us know if that's an issue for you guys.
Houston Integrity, just for your planning purposes and so you're tracking what I'm doing here, I was scheduled for aerobic today. I'm going to go ahead and film resistive exercise just because of our tightened timeline. Resistive goes a little faster, and I prefer resistive, more resistive anyway. But let me know if anyone has any major heartache with that, and I'll switch back to aerobic.
Copy, checking. Integrity, Houston, back with you on the exercise question. So there are a couple of factors here for you, Jeremy. One, since this is a recorded session, we are looking to get one of aerobic and one of resistive. And because of other activities tomorrow, we think that the resistive fits better tomorrow from a spatial constraints perspective, which is why we had aerobic today. So we're leaning towards recommending that you stick with aerobic today. But additional context is that we do have some wiggle room to extend the time frame where you guys can be exercising today if needed.
Okay, Houston, I can do aerobic today.
Thanks, Jeremy. Integrity Houston for SA regarding a ground activity.
Go ahead, Houston.
Hey, Reed, just wanted to let you know the ground is about to take a team photo at 4:25 your time. So I will be stepping away from the desk, but I will have my device on speaker. So if you call, it'll just take me an extra minute to pop over here and respond.
Okay, no problem. And we see that the prop system is in the configuration we expected. Thank you.
Fantastic. That is true. Integrity Houston for secondary dumping.
Go ahead, Tess.
To read some good news, we have determined that we are okay. If you have additional CCUs that you want to dump, we would just appreciate it if you would let us know anytime you're initiating a dump until MET of 5:36. We are still collecting imagery associated with that first dump, and it'll just help us to know when additional dumps happen.
Okay, sounds good. We're going to have a dump in about 1 minute here, plus or minus a few minutes. Well, not minus a few, but maybe plus a few. And you're taking a picture, Tess.
We are about to. We're waiting for one very important flight director to arrive.
Okay, great. As we told the Orbit 2 team, really savor these moments as you got the whole group together to take a picture. And just we're really proud of everyone, and we're having a good time up here. Thank you.
I had you on speaker for that, and we really appreciate your words. The whole team heard you, and we are all really proud to be here with you.
Excellent. And Victor just had a great comment. If you guys get a couple of these early drafts of these pictures of you all, put them in the mission summary. We'd love to see your faces.
We can absolutely do that.
Attention. If All-Star Node 516221 becomes too busy to support more connections and you fail to connect, try connecting to Node 516222 instead.
Houston Integrity for exercise.
Go ahead.
Jeremy just completed his aerobic. Please let me know when the vehicle dynamics support me getting on for resistive.
And Reed, we just went around the room. We are all good. You can begin exercise now if you'd like.
Okay, we will. It is pretty interesting up here. I'm sure you see in the data, but we can definitely feel the vehicle moving around when folks are exercising. It's pretty cool to just sit there and float and feel the vehicle kind of it's not like a ship rocking in the ocean, but you definitely feel it wiggling around.
We also see it in the SAW video as well as our data, but good to hear your report on it as well.
Hey, one last question. This is for a little later tonight, but we kind of want to do a couple deep sky long exposure photographs. If the SAWs are in the windows and it's possible to get the lights turned off on the SAW cameras in about an hour, we might appreciate that, but clearly not if it interrupts any sort of ops down there.
Reed, we think that will be doable. We will double check, and we'll let you know when you're done exercising.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Integrity Houston on OE1 for email status and SAW camera LEDs.
Go ahead, Houston.
Jeremy, two heads-up items. We finished the email sync, so the handoff email in the crew band no longer applies. Secondly, Reed had asked if we could turn off the SAW camera LEDs. There were no constraints against that, so we turned all four off.
Okay. Those are great items for us. Appreciate it. Houston Integrity, I've got AGA readings for you.
We are ready to copy.
Okay, CO2 is 1.1, O2 is 27, cabin temperature is 74.8, pressure is 10.35, and I think we would be ready to go to the reduced fan settings if you could do that for us.
We will put that in work.
Yes, and I am sure you know, but we're just running a little long on this DFC, and we'll be ready for the flight charger conference in probably 5 to 10 minutes.
Copy. Yep, no rush. We are ready when you are.
Houston, we're configuring for OE2. We'll see the flight directors over there.
We are there and ready.